It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 22nd day of March, 2021. This is the Horn Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. I am told we are running hot and true on both streams, both at Headon.live and at the White Rose Society stream, so that's a good thing. It's a great way to start a brand new week. And this is the last full week of March. There are eight broadcast days left in the month, and spring seems like it's here, although I'm going to be a little bit circumspect about that because I think I saw a snowflake icon on my weather bug thing earlier today for a couple of days from now. Next couple of days are going to be kind of cloudy, but daggum, oh, it's nice outside. Just so nice outside. I had to be chased in. There's no doubt. It just did. But that's okay. That's okay. I will not play hooky. No. I definitely will not. Oh, rat fart. I just realized I've started the program minus a piece of technology, so we'll just let the drum loop go for a minute there, and I'll be right back. Stand by. Okay, all better now. Bless your heart. I popped back into the kitchen for a second because I had left a device in there, and little Lucy Purr Morning Paw it came running because, hey, can I be on the show tonight? No, because you like to walk across mixed desks and change all the audio settings, honey. No. Oh, God, she's cute. It's just astonishing. Just the cutest little kitty I've ever seen. Anyway, the part of the reason for every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and so thanks go out over to our weekend subscribers, and that means thanks to Colin. Thank you, Colin, and thank you to Janice. And thank you to Bill in Florida. Thank you to Felicia, formerly of Nebraska, now of Southern California. Thank you to Body Inc. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks to Harold, President and CEO of Sochtris, the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Thanks as well to Vincent. And thank you to Tina. Thank you to our pal Reverbo. Thank you for non-billable Rick. Thank you to Carl. Thank you to Armand. Thank you, Dr. John. Thank you all most kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. and making sure that this program continues to exist. I can never thank you enough. And, of course, you know, if new subscribers and whatnot, if you'd like to be a subscriber and join in our little merry band, well, it's easy to do. It's right there at headon.live. You just click, put the number in, and you click the box, and you get to, and then it happens every month, and that's wonderful. Wonderful indeed. And so our fundraising goal, where does it stand for this evening? Well, thanks to a couple of folks jumping in early, it means that we've only got $280 to raise. And that's fantastic. So $280, and we will be in. We'll be keeping things. You know, we won't be digging out of any holes if we do that. And speaking of which, it was, by the way, if you'd like to augment your listening, I do this every evening because you never know when new folks are going to wander along. If you'd like to augment your listening activity, one of the best ways to do it is to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room. And if you pop in right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Roger in Oregon and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space to become Man Cave. He's capably assisted by pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve, from Georgistan. So pop on by. Sparky's been mowing the back 40, and I'm right here. Roger said, "When's Robin going to come in?" Getting... Oh, I see. Yeah, because I haven't changed. Yeah, I got to figure out how to do that. Got to figure out how to change the name there and the photograph. And God, there's so much stuff. But nonetheless, yeah, that's another thing to take care of. And you know, talking to John about the intro and getting that changed and. It just it doesn't it seems like every time I solve one problem there's another one that comes up. But you know, hey, welcome to my world. So it's Moran Monday. Mm-hmm. And over the weekend, of course, Friday night was fun. Mountaineers won, Wisconsin won. Sunday night not so much. Mountaineers lost. Wisconsin lost. And this was this brought grief to our pal Ralphs. Ralphs said, "I'll contribute $63 for Wisconsin's loss if other people contribute $72 for West Virginia's loss, because we both." I won't say it about Wisconsin, but I really felt like the Mountaineers stunk up the joint. God, a number 3 seed going down to a number 11. Ugh. And I'll stop before people. Oh God, she's going to talk about sports. No, I'm not. But that's really nice of Ralphs. So if somebody's, if we can pull together $72, then Ralphs will kick in 63. That'll make it $135. And well, that would mean we'd be. Let's see, what do we do? 80 minus 30, 50, 45. We'd be $145 away from done with funding for the program. But so thank you, Ralphs. I hope that does happen. And well, condolences going out to our pal David in South Carolina, Stan. He let me know that his beloved feline pal, George, died yesterday, Sunday. He said, "I'm so sad." And I sure understand that. I hope David and George had many happy memories together that can perhaps assuage a little bit of the grief. Just a little bit. But all of our thoughts go out, David. And I had rough news, really rough news, from our pal Dave in the blind. This is worrying and sad. And, gosh, it's hard to give it adequate words. Because, well, I'll just tell you what Dave said. I hope this makes sense. You've heard Dave on the program talking about his beloved Christine. Christine collapsed early this morning. Dave wrote me yesterday. and was found by a neighbor in her car. Took him 11 minutes to revive her. The lovely Christine is on a ventilator in the ICU there in Taliban, Indianapolis. They've said, I don't know much of anything else. You and the members of the Horn Family Community Congregation have been so important to both Christine and me over the years. I'm calling on you once again for your moral support. For Christine is still alive, but I don't know what her body is like. Her side of the family and I are working with it. My brother Bob came down to help people. They're really, people are really folding around me, and I appreciate it. If I can encourage anybody to get their final arrangements taken care of now and let their families know what the hell they want, it'd be a great help. And, well, we tried to do that as best we can. Dave says, I'll keep you informed, although, I mean, not calling or... But I promise I'll let you know as soon as I can. In closing, Dave in the blind says, remember to hold each other and tell people that you love them. Indeed. Our most fervent and hopeful thoughts, Dave, go out to Christine. I'm just so sorry to hear that. It is a lovely little family we have here. And when one of us hurts, we all hurt. Because that is the nature of our common humanity. So Dave, we're right there. We are right there with you, my friend. Right there with you. And I have a note. It's uplink. Joey's journal. Robin. Jeffrey's all excited today because, well, I'll let him tell you why. I'm positively enthusiastic with anticipation. Jeffrey says, I've just heard the good news, and that is the replacement for Rush Limbaugh. Yes, Rush is still dead, that piece of garbage. And speaking of garbage, on this day of 1987, a barge left out of Islip, New York, which is on Long Island, and I, Jeffrey the Giraffe, love and live on the Long Islands. Long Islands. Yeah, the barge could find nowhere to dump the garbage, and soon the barge was simply and aptly named the Garbarge. I remember that. I do. As if it were yesterday. So, literally, the Garbarge toured every port along the Atlantic looking for a place to unload its refuse, but no port would give the barge any support. And the poor barge just barged on its way like a refusee. Refusee? A very tired llama. In the meantime, the barge became like a cause celeb, as in each port numerous fans awaited the arrival of the Garbarge and often boarded the vessel and partied all night long. Well, the barge captain had to finally put an end to it all because, well, you know, all the party people were just, yes, all the party people were just trashing the place. And now for the good news from Jeffrey. Yes, Rush Limbaugh's new replacement will be none other than, wait for it, yes, none other than John Bon Jovi. Yay! Living on a prayer. Joey and I love John Bon Jovi, as we saw him and Lady Gaga at Hillary's last stop of the 2016 campaign in Raleigh, North Carolina. Finally, a good lefty for the airwaves. Jaffrey, I think you got it a little mixed up there. The oxygen must be a little thin today. The replacement for the rotten OxyContin oxymoron mega over ditto dosing freak is Dan Bongino. Yes, Joey, you're correct. I stand highly corrected, and as far as it's concerned, it appears that the higher-ups at the EIB, Endless Intentional Bullshit, now that gets a real, yeah, that's a cowbell, network. Yes, it appears the executives at Cumulus and Westwood One are really high on Bongino. The warm weather must be affecting Giraffe, too. Good job, by the way. Is that Garbarge still available? Because they could float the barge up the Mississippi to Rush's gravesite in North St. Louis and load up the remains of old Rushbow into the barge and sail that floater up and down the river all damn day long. And all of Russia's Moran Monday mega ding-dongs could just stand by the shore and worship their heroine hero. Ooh, that's quality. Heroine hero. Meanwhile, the normal sane people could just walk down to the shores of the Mississippi and dump their trash right on the rush rig. By the way, on this day in 1820, naval hero Stephen Decatur Jr. was killed in a duel in Washington, D.C. by Commodore James Barron. Because we were still doing that dueling thing in 1820. Stephen Decatur's home is right there on Lafayette Square and is marked as such with a historical marker and holds some federal offices. One of those buildings used to have the Council on Environmental Quality on it before the COVID Caligula administration just got rid of the Council on Environmental Quality, right? But Stephen Decatur was so revered and so beloved, several cities, streets, and counties were named after him, including the county in which, it's the city, not the county, where Reggie and Decatur resides in Georgia, Decatur, Georgia. There's a Decatur, Alabama. There's a Decaturville, Tennessee. Is there a Decatur, Illinois? I think there's a lot of Decaturs. But Jeffrey wants to wrap things up. Speaking of horn members, Dave and the Blind wished to give me a long-distance call last week, but I must inform Dave and the Blind that if you wish to contact me, you'd better have a... Wait for it. If you wish to contact me, Jeffrey the Giraffe, you'd better have an uplink, because I'm a very upstanding giraffe. And so this has been Joey's Journal for Moran Monday, the 22nd day of March 2021, with Giraffe linking up. Linking up, yep, with the whole Horn family, and there's a $10 uplink challenge courtesy of Joey and Giraffe. So that means we've got a grand total of $73. Looking for matching funds so that you can double your money in supporting the program. Yeah, thank you, very kindly, Joey and Giraffe, and thank you, Ralphs, and everybody who wants to help out keeping this all going. And yeah, I got a note for this Moran Monday right before the program from Scott in San Diego. Some El Rushbow news from Talkers, a radio industry journal. Premier Networks to continue the Rush Limbaugh show, WBOB Jacksonville First New Affiliate. The 12 noon to 3 p.m. time slot of the Rush Limbaugh show will continue with archival audio from Limbaugh's 30-plus year syndicated program, augmented by familiar talk hosts. Chesapeake, they've got their first affiliate. Premier said, no one can replace Rush Limbaugh, and Premier Networks will continue to provide millions of loyal listeners with the voice of Rush for the long term. Because he's going to be dead for a long time. We have a variety of familiar voices who are guiding the audio of Rush for all of the important issues of the day, including recent guest hosts Todd Herman, Ken Matthews, and Brett Winterbull. Winterbly? I got nothing. So they're gonna bring in somebody to sit in the chair and introduce clips of, I guess, what? The oxymoron, maybe his greatest hits, going back to babbling about the evils of Bill Clinton and the mighty moral overtones of Newton Leroy Gangrene. Right, yeah. Maybe there will be some clips in those clips within eclipse. Eclipse? There's no eclipse. Maybe there will be some clips in there where he talks about the moral fortitude of Newt Gangrene as he was at the very same instant making Bill Clinton look rather like a piker. I mean, I guess it's an interesting commentary on, a past look at the news or something like that. premiere, Scott notes, because they'll continue to productively exploit the greatest brand in talk radio programming history. And even though it could never be as big as it would have been with Rush Alive, it certainly will maintain value and possibly evolve into something of a lasting currency. Other syndicated shows, because they now have a shot at being cleared in the valuable 12 noon to 3 p.m. space and get a viable piece of the pie. Yeah. Lots of winners. According to Michael Harrison of Talkers Magazine, it's a multiple win, he said, for many elements of the industry. The biggest win is for old Scratch, the devil himself, because he's always looking for someone to help him use up his eternal supply of pineapples, of course, in reverse. Yes. So, we've got that to start our Moran Monday. We got a lot of Moran Monday material, and I need to... Well, let's get this Moran Monday going in proper form. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Here, just a few scant feet away from the Carnival Midway, where only recently you were engaged in the vain, fruitless attempt to win a precious, not-so-precious baby iguana by throwing ping-pong balls at goldfish bowls. Well, here we are. And frankly, you're liable to get more out of this than you get out of the ping-pong balls and the goldfish bowls, because right here, right now, behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, we've got them all for you. Every kind of moran imaginable. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, booger eaters, libertarians, maggots, trumpansies, republicans all, and they await your arrival. And for just the pittance of $10 a month for the average horn subscriber, you can keep the Moran Monday caravan coming each and every Monday to towns and cities, hamlets and burgs, all around the fruited plains, my friends. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That's all right there for you. And in fact, as you enter the Moran Monday tent, there is the usual caveat, the usual advisory, my friends, and that is to make sure and keep a close hand and a close eye on watches, purses, rings, bracelets, toe rings, even things that are pierced into your very flesh. Children, small animals, even that precious baby iguana you somehow managed to win throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls. Keep an eye on them all. Even European-style messenger bags and lovely little crossbody bags, because, well, the morans can get grabby. Head to the hills, and you'll be up to your armpits in morans. And that's so true. Absolutely true. Where do we begin with our morans today? Because, lo, the morans are legion. You know how much fun I have with Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, right? Yeah, we've been talking about his bizarre and sketchy tax plan put forward by a governor, by the way, who doesn't like to pay them in his own right, and so he's pushing this, and he's going to get it to get rid of the state income tax. And he's had lots of maps and charts and graphs and 8x10 color glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one. And What he's worried about is the fact that West Virginia is depopulating. My beloved state is losing population. We're probably going to lose a member of Congress as soon as the reapportionment's out. And given the fact that all three of them are maggots, frankly, seeing a three-way battle between them and the third place finisher instead of a set of steak knives, well, they get fired. And would that be David McKinley, or Looney Mooney, or crazy cat lady car sales lady Carol Miller? It matters not much to me, because there's not a there's not a single one of them that's worth a fart in a bathtub. But we're losing population here, and we are apparently here the only state in the union to have lost population overall since like 1950, which according to my poor ability to cipher is 71 years. And so make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice, today's first Moran, has a plan. And he's so proud of himself. He loves to brag about his COVID response, which is really not what it would appear to be, no matter how many members of the multimillionaire for-profit media fall for his shtick. He said, how we've handled COVID and how we've handled the economics of COVID, really and truly, we have knocked it out of the park. And so he wants to cut taxes and probably wants to raid the Recovery Act money to pay for it, of course. It's going to create a $1 billion hole in state government. Arnold and I were talking about this off air a week or so ago. We don't tax the coal companies that blow up the mountains. We don't tax the frackers who poison the water. Yeah, no. But don't worry, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice. In no way, shape, form, or fashion are we going to have a $1 billion hole in our budget. Because we're going to raise the taxes on the sody pop and the booze and the turbacky. No, really. He's going to make up $1 billion by us hillbillies, drinking more pop. Did I mention we also have a type 2 diabetes problem in the state of West Virginia? Because we do. Drink more sody pop, y'all, and make sure you get yourself a bottle of Four Roses to pour in your sody pop and maybe a couple of packs of smokes along the way, because, well, we're losing population here, and we got to make up the money, and then y'all are going to die. But, oh, dear, I think we got a hole in the plan here. Sales tax goes up to 7.9%. We've talked about this a little bit, but my favorite part of the Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice Economic Recovery Plan for West Virginia is tourism. I mean, my little county is a tourism economy. People come here from all over the country to scale the rocks, to climb the iron ladders on on the side of the gorge, to hike, to bike, to fish, to whitewater raft and kayak. And it's a beautiful place. I'll have to post it. I took a couple of pictures. And we went and had a look at the, Ferg wanted to play disc golf, so I caddied. And there is this exquisite little place that you can go and it's like you've got the gorge all to yourself, and you've got a complete view of the bridge about a mile away. It's breathtaking. The river, 800 feet below, was up, and there were trees. You know, it was up out of its banks, and you could see trees standing in the water as it went by, and it was all a new river, second oldest in the world, was all muddy, and the littlest, tiniest little leaves had begun to come out on the trees, and you could feel the warm sun, even as the cool breeze at 800 feet above the river blew past. So we got a lot of people that come here to see that, and in point of fact, one of these days, I hope we really, really are going to have the horn in. I've been looking at dates, and like I said before, I think one of the most promising
dates for the horn in when we can get together and feast and festivate and whatnot. It's a word now. I just made it. But that would be like, like the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th of October, or else in 2022, if it doesn't work out with the pandemic, the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th of June. So I'm hoping we're gonna put forward those plans, and basically the way it works out is that one or two people, single or couple, $1,000, and we will all gather together. Of course, it'll be, you know, the lodging, food, all of that will be provided. If the weather cooperates, we'll go out on the maybe go out on a trail or have a picnic somewhere. We'll have a lot of that there, and there'll be entertainment. There'll be music. It'll be a lot of fun. And so we'll just use the GoFundMe campaign for that, and for the place where that lands, and we'll go from there. But that's not the tourism that Jim Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice has in mind. Oh, no. I really get the hockey puck. Yes, that's Governor Jim Justice the Hutt. Precisely, Brother Deacon. But he said, now I'm so old I can remember when Jim Justice was going to change the economic fortune of West Virginia by building a great big beautiful NASCAR track. You know, we're not that far from Bristol, and NASCAR's been real good for Bristol. So he was going to somehow convince NASCAR to come to West Virginia and, I don't know, build a racetrack on top of a mountaintop removal site or something. Jesus Christ, the stupidity. Oh, the morality. Can you imagine a NASCAR track on a mountaintop removal site? There'd be more waves in that asphalt than there are in the ocean. Maybe you could do the truck series with really, really big gumbo mudders on them, because that track would be gravel in a year's time. Nonetheless, I really, really believe there is a real chance of landing real entertainment. Landon, you know, the next Disney, the next Dollywood, whatever. Yeah. Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice is going to save the West Virginia economy with the next Dollywood or Disney or whatever. I think the odds of the whatever are probably stronger than the next Disney World or Dollywood. And you know what? People who live here actually voted that man into a second term in office. Oh, thank you, maggot West Virginians, because truly, Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice is a gift that just keeps on giving. Mm-hmm. So that's more and number one, but God knows we're up to our eyebrows in morans. Mm-hmm. What's that, Steve, in New York? Scott in San Diego, conservative currency like Rush coin. It's the first negatively valued currency. Oh, that's good. Rush coin. Rush augmented. Jack in Shreveport says, this has got me thinking about the holograms of Tupac and Michael Jackson and so on that were big deals some years ago. Or was that just on a South Park episode? Please, God, don't let there be some bloated Limbaugh hologram floating around to get the religious nutters thinking we got another Elvis that won't go away. Oh, I think we were ready. And we were ready for this more in Monday, yes. And before we move on, that's good stuff. Megan pointing out depopulation. And I'll point out that back in the 80s, a lawyer for Columbia Gas named Jack Snyder put together a memo that laid out how to depopulate West Virginia, and make it safe for the extraction industries. You know, we're just going to have enough services left to take care of the people who worked in the extraction industry. All the old people would get sick and die, and the, you know, the the weak and the infirm. They'd get sick and die, and it almost kind of had a Final Solution for the Hillbillies flavor to it. So it's not exactly accidental. And when Megan sent me this email, it says depopulation. It was all it immediately triggered my memory of that memo. Let's see, says Megan. Blow up the mountains, poison the water, don't tax the millionaires polluting your state while raising taxes on consumption products. How do y'all screw citizens out of statehood altogether? Because it sounds like Jim Justice is trying really hard to find out. He'd better start taking care of West Virginia's nature he's got left. Otherwise, there won't be a tourism economy or any economy whatsoever. I'm sorry, Robin. But you West Virginians really do deserve a sentient and intelligent governor. Oh, I know. And we've had them in the past, to a certain extent, but for the long history of the state of West Virginia, and I need to get Keith Lilly back for a refresher on this, but the long history of West Virginia is a long history of selling us by the ton from just about the very instant that we became a state. Because the theory has always been that West Virginians could not have an economy that West Virginians built. You know, stupid hillbillies need somebody else to come along and do it for us. Did I hear you right, Robin? Scott in San Diego asks, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice wants the West Virginia sales tax to go to 7.9%. You damn right. Out here in California, Scott says, it's only 7.25. Oh, it's going to... Yeah. And you know what? The Republicans will turn around and say, we cut y'all's taxes. And all the mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing maggots will say, yeah, they did. Son of a bitch, it's a lot more expensive these days to buy and go to the Wally World and buy myself a flat, a big old 75-inch flat-screen TV. Wonder why that is. I don't know. Maybe Jesus. Mm-hmm. You're right. Oh, and we got a little good news from Dave and the Blind. Christine's COVID test came back negative today, which means her sister and I can visit her because it's an ICU. They limit it to 2 visitors her entire time there. As far as the Horns' beloved giraffe goes, the one thing I admire about Giraffery is that he's always willing to stick his neck out for his point of view. Signed, your buddy, Dave and the Blind. Yeah, stick his neck out for his point of view. I can do that. You deserve that, Dave. Well, when you go in to see her, just tell her that the whole Horn family community congregation is rooting for her and loves her dearly. Please, if you would, Dave. Matt in San Francisco, 7.9% was rounding up to 8% too much math? Well, come on, Matt. You worked retail. You know people will gladly pay $7.99, but by God, if you tell them it's $8, I don't know if I got $8, but I got $7.99. Yeah, it's consumer psychology. 8%? But 7.99? Well, hell, why not? Sometimes I think we really should change West Virginia's state motto to "This way to the egress," because we've been getting dumped out the back of the circus for a long damn time. But like I said, many morons, and God knows they don't all. I don't. You know, there's no way to know all the names, but if you can't nominate the spring break assholes in Miami Beach on Moran Monday, I don't know when the hell you can. You've seen, I'm sure, the photos by now of people just butthole to belly button, LARPing and smolicking, no mask, no nothing, spring break partying in Miami Beach. Got so bad that the cops had to start lobbing tear gas paintball type things into the crowd to get the disease spreaders to disperse. They imposed, Miami Beach did, a curfew of 8 p.m. on South Beach. Then they closed the causeways. No, really, they closed the causeways so people could, they literally roadblocked Miami Beach
to keep these assholes and idiots out. Police will enforce the 8 p.m. curfew by blockading South Beach's main party strips, Ocean Drive, Washington Avenue, and Collins Avenue from 5th to 15th Streets. No pedestrians or vehicles will be allowed to enter after 8 p.m., and all businesses in the restricted area will be forced to close. Interim city manager Raul Aguilla told the Miami Herald this past Saturday. There will be a dedicated lane for beach residents, hotel guests, or people who need to go to work, but no more spring breakers. And it's that time of year. It's spring break seasons. And that's the problem. You know, I've pointed this out before. That's one of our biggest problems with this godforsaken Dondemic. It's still the Trump pandemic, remember? And as, by the way, as Stephen in New York pointed out, this South Beach thing is Sturgis on steroids. And God, they're going to, where are the, they're probably, just ponder it. Where are the spring breakers coming from? Oh, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Ohio. I mean, anywhere and everywhere. And so whatever success these states had in trying to get a handle on this, well, it's probably going to spring up again because I thought we had passed the 100 million doses mark, but I heard today that it's like 87 or something million. I was so proud and tickled. I saw a post earlier today that our dear friend John Britovo and his lovely wife got their Fauci ouchies today. That's great news. That's great news. And of course, Agnes and I get ours on April Fool's Day. So that's a week from Thursday. Yeah. And by the way, program note: if the second Pfizer makes you feel as awful as I've heard it does, there may not be, and it'll be a game time decision, of course. There may not be a Friday on the front porch for Friday, the second day of April, 2021. But it's too far out to know that. I talked to somebody who had their second Pfizer, and they told me that before they got the shot, they drank a quart of Gatorade. And I'm forgetting what all else, but somehow I remember the recipe ended with a couple of vodkas on the rocks with white vermouth. Basically a vodka martini, still with the ice in it. And said they did not have a single problem with the Pfizer vaccine. They felt great. So crossing my fingers, of course I'll take a powder on the vodka martini. And I kind of got to be careful with the Gatorade, but it seems like maybe getting your electrolyte balance up and making sure you're really, really, really well hydrated. Maybe that's part of it. Ralphs tells us I got my second Moderna vaccine on Saturday. Yay! Well, Ralphs, this is Monday, so are you saying no ill effects? No crappiness, no flu-like nothing. Apart from the fact that the Badgers broke your heart. It's like the Mountaineers broke my... Losing to an 11 seed. Huh? Yeah, oh well. COVID wave, David in South Carolina stands, says they want a new wave to show that Biden has failed at stopping COVID. Self-sabotage, I think, is the term that the psychologists use in that. But yeah, COVID cases are going up in no less than 21 states. And it's thought that the UK strain is to blame. 30% of all US cases are now the UK strain. Today, 14 states expanded vaccine eligibility. I got great news from our dear friend Joy in Ann Arbor.
She has finally secured a shot, and she said she was so happy she was crying. And I understand that. I do. 21 states with rising rates. Because I guess we're just atne ute aitbre if you one what I een me when it comes to that sort of thing. Back to the taxes. Jeremy in Vermont says, it's all the O'Biden's fault ever since he was not my president 12 years ago in our White House. I can hear him in their barca loungers now. Yeah. And this manufactured crisis at the southern border that the multimillionaire for-profit media has leapt upon in the last week or so. It really does. It's got the sort of vibe of the old the caravans are coming. The caravans are coming. They're not sending their best. They're sending rapists. All over again. Would you put it past some right-wing rat fuckers? I mean, this is how the Republican Party operates, after all. Would you put it past some right-wing rat fuckers to maybe send a few operatives down there, scatter a few $100 bills around, and maybe start a rumor that the Biden administration was letting in all comers? Yeah. Of course, I get the multimillionaire for-profit media. They just want a controversy to broadcast. That's all. And they lap up whatever crap is passed their way like a kitty on cream, and with similar results. I think there's a lot of children showing up at the border, maybe as a result of a ginned up caravan, but also because there has been a brutal hurricane season down there. Recently passed that we kind of didn't pay much attention to, because we don't pay much attention to our southern neighbors, and unless we're looking for a really good reason to hate them or support some miserable, godforsaken right-wing dictatorship. And, of course, the drug crisis that we manufactured down there continues to torment people. And I'll say again what I've said before. Can you imagine how terrified one has to be, how absolutely terrorized that one would put a backpack filled with whatever belongings the little one could carry on your child and say, "Mommy and Daddy love you. Off to America with you so that you can live, because you probably won't down here." Unaccompanied minors. That's such a sterile phrase. Unaccompanied minors. Baby, we can't go, but you can. You know, it's sort of reminiscent of little baby Moses among the bulrushers. Take the newborn baby and put it in a basket and float it down the Nile and hope some Egyptian princess will find him. That's you know, typical hero tale kind of stuff. But you've got that thousands of times over at the Rio Grande. And suddenly, for some reason, all the Christians forget that they forget that Moses story. I mean that was Moses. These are not Moses. Because, you know, Moses was lily white, right? Oh, dear God. Thank you, Robert, up near northern West Virginia. Active shooter situation at King Soopers in Boulder, Colorado. Still developing. I'll try to have a peep at that. This in from Suman. Vaccines in Arizona opened up for everybody above 16 today. While this is good news, it's important to understand why Arizona moved the eligibility age from 65 to 16. You all know this already. Most maggots here are simply refusing to take the vaccine. I'm not sure this country will even get to sustainable herd immunity. Well, not if the maggots have anything to do with it. You won't. We won't. Because it's all a Chinese hoax anyway, right? Right. Mercy.
This one's the perfect gift for the friend who's been getting a little too comfortable during quarantine.
Yeah, advertisement. Yeah. Shooting at grocery store. Boulder, Colorado. Hopefully it's not going to be a nightmare. But it's America, and we do love our guns, and well, golly, people are going out and moving around, and kids are back in school, and folks are going and getting massages, and you know, those temptresses are out there temptressing again. So naturally, we're going to have some freedom. We're going to have some freedom protecting breaking out. I know, Matt. I know. Matt says I'm sick of it. I don't understand why the Democrats can never seem to get traction on anything. 45 was locking up kids and had the cruelest policy ever, and the press covers it for a couple of days and then moved on to something else. Biden is literally trying to rebuild the government and shore up all the broken pieces, and the press follows the screams of the Republicans down to the border and frames every report with, "Why is the Biden administration caught flat-footed? They should have seen this coming." Even with the bully pulpit, we can't seem to steer a narrative. Well, it takes some cooperation, doesn't it, Matt? Reporting on that narrative. And we live in the era of whatever gets clicks gets reported. Plain and simple. And it's sickening. And like you, Matt, I'm sick of it. I'm frustrated as hell. Active shooter at King Supers, Jack in Shreveport, says, "I used to shop there and lived within walking distance for part of my stay in that town." So our friends in Boulder, if you have any information, send it along. Well, how about that? Thank you, David in South Carolina, Stan. What I said apparently is true-ish. Oscar L. Blue and Paloma for Trump were cheerleaders for brutal crackdowns. Now they're stars in a new right-wing panic over the border. Two Mexican maggot media stars have been crossing the border to broadcast with Marjorie Traitor Green Cucumber allies to rile up U.S.-based viewers with QAnon conspiracy theories about Democrats orchestrating and funding invasion and child trafficking. One's a deportee with a drug trafficking conviction. But, well, you know, never mind. Because clicks. And it wouldn't really be a Moran Monday if we didn't have a Lauren Bobblehead Boebert sighting. That would be Clanny Oakley. Oh, for pity's sakes. She's out there riling up the mouth walkers and knuckle breathers, the maggot crowd that picks their teeth with their toenail clippings. She attended a town hall recently in Montrose, Colorado, and somebody there stood up and said, "Yeah, but what I want to know is what about all these Democrats of the deep state? What about all these FBI people and these CIA people and Hillary? Are they ever going to be held accountable for their..." Oh, God. And she cut him off, Lauren Bobblehead Boebert did, Clanny Oakley. And away she went. "I'm going to answer part of this. Yeah, I sure hope they're held accountable for their crimes. So we're seeing
a lot of ugliness uncovered, a lot of corruption exposed. But I believe that we're going to start seeing gifts and callings of righteous men and women exposed to counter all of this. Gifts that have remained dormant on the inside of people. What? And callings of righteous men and women exposed to counter all the gifts that remain dormant on the inside of people are going to start rising up. Really? Gifts? Rising up? You sure you're talking about QAnon, Lori? People are going to start filling these positions that they never saw themselves in, doing their part to serve their country. And I have good sources in very close contact with President Trump. Because he's still President Trump to her, because she's a moron. Yeah. So anyone who tries to tell you that this is a fringe newspaper media, don't listen to them. I have very good sources to say this is really good information. Is it 100%? I don't know, but it's really good information. Yeah, I wish I was kidding. And we all know there was information that was declassified just a few days before President Trump left office. And I know someone who's involved in declassifying that. And this person's getting very tired of waiting on the DOJ to do something about it. And we will be hearing about it very, very soon. And this is my opinion with that information that I have. My God, what a word salad. I believe we will see resignations begin to take place. And I think we can take back the majority in the House and the Senate before 2022 when all this is ended. Before, a bunch of Democrats who are involved in the cannibal pedophile ring that Q is going after. That's the new thing. Now Democrats are just going to start resigning en masse from the House of Representatives and the Senate, and the Republicans will control the Congress before the midterm elections of 2022. And they listen to her, and they, boy, I tell you what, that's one smart woman. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so she's right there and won't back off any of this, doubles down, you know. If the House had any integrity left, there'd be plenty of resignations. Pelosi knows her side is corrupt, and that's why she acts as she does. A competent leader wouldn't be trying to steal elections and expel and unseat members from the opposing side. I want accountability. Oh, sister. We want accountability. Of course, if we had accountability, you wouldn't be in the House. And neither would Marjorie Traitor Green Q-tip. Somebody needs to, I don't know, check in, get a little, a little counseling, a little therapy, a little cold water on the back of the neck in the code, a little medication, maybe a little Thorazine dart in the neck. Yeah. But that's just Lauren Bobblehead Boebert. Because we got more morons than we can probably cover in this evening. Let's play. Where does this quote come from? It was a text message, and the text message read, "A drunk congressman is rubbing my back. Help. Help." Guesses? Bueller? Can we guess the political party? Oh, no, of course, there's no guessing necessary. It gets even better, though, because this is a Republican congressman from New York State who has spent the last several months hollering about what? Yeah, the need for
Andrew Cuomo to step down as governor of the state of New York because this particular event featured Representative Tom Reed, who looks like no one so much as he does the creature from Young Frankenstein as portrayed by Peter Boyle, only with a lot less genial personality. Right? Did you make a yummy sound? I didn't make a yummy sound. So they were at a party, and he was good and liquored up, because I'm sure he's a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian. Tom Reed. Oh, he was a big maggot. He loved him some Trump. And he talked about how he was all worked up. One of his signature issues was going to be sexual harassment of the women's. Well, according to published reports on the matter, the Washington Post, representing Tom Reed was at one of those Washington shindigs, and a young woman, a lobbyist who apparently worked at Aflac, unpaid product placement. Well, Tom Reed, what do the Eagles sing in Tequila Sunrise? So take another shot of courage and wonder why the right words never come. Just gets numb. Well, according to the Washington Post, Reed, his hand outside her blouse, briefly fumbled with her bra before unhooking it by pinching the clasp. This according to the woman that he groped. He moved his hand to her thigh, inching upward, she said. Frozen in fear, she asked the person sitting to her right for help, and he obliged by pulling the congressman away from the table and out of the restaurant. When the news broke last week, Representative Reed said, issued a statement saying, this account of my actions is not accurate. And then he announced that he was an alcoholic and going to try to get himself some more help and try not to molest any more young Washington lobbyists. Wow. Because, of course, I mean, this is a guy who was a devotee of an unelected president. Who said that you could grab women by their genitals just if you were famous enough. She was 25 years old, Nicolette Davis was. She was making her first networking trip as a junior lobbyist for Aflac. It wasn't in Washington, D.C. I apologize. It was at an Irish pub in Minneapolis, and they'd been ice fishing. She and the group she was with. Mm-hmm. Well, Reed, meanwhile, had said a couple of months back of Andrew Cuomo and was thinking about running for governor for the Republican nomination against Cuomo. These incidents of sexual harassment and pattern of abuse are abhorrent and have absolutely no place in our society, let alone the highest rungs of government. Such behavior is disturbing and unacceptable. Mm-hmm. The young woman has gone on in her life. She is now a second lieutenant in the U.S. Army. She's at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. she will graduate from field artillery school later this month. And she told the Washington Post, "I need to always act in good conscience and set the right example for the soldiers I will lead, including young females. I hope it'll allow people who have endured similar experiences to feel confident enough to say something." So, well, of course, because the goddess of irony, what? That's right, never sleeps. A drunk congressman is rubbing my back. Help! Fine, fine, fine Christian he is, I'm sure. Because, you know, you can't be elected as a Republican member of the House unless you're a fine, fine, fine Christian. Oh, fuck no. Sometimes it's just too easy, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And from Tom Reed to, of course, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head. I'm socially secure. I'm well off. I'm comfortably in. So he showed up on Cucky Tucky's program. Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, did. And complained about being asked to wear a mask because, of course, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, has formed, I'm sure, a physician's organization that declares that he, Rand Paul, doesn't have to wear masks because he, Rand Paul, has determined that because he, Rand Paul, is a scientist. And I hope his neighbor's doing okay. Really, I do.
I was on the treadmill the other day, and some Karen goes and tells the people, he's on a treadmill, he's running without a mask. I mean, for goodness sakes, is this the world we're going to live in, where everybody's reporting everyone, and the Gestapo's going to come because in a...
Yeah, Gestapo. Of course, Gestapo. Yeah, it is the world we live in, Rand, you fucking libertarian goddamned idiot. We live in a world that has a goddamn virus in it that's killed over 500,000 Americans. Yeah, if you're sitting there with no mask on the treadmill, somebody's probably going to ask you to put on a mask, you little dweeb. Dweebs of a feather. One dweeb talking to another dweeb. Neo-maxi-zoom dweebies both.
Rest you like this poor woman? I mean... I was on the treadmill the other day, and some Karen goes and tells the people, he's on a treadmill, he's running without a mask. I mean, for goodness sakes, is this the world we're going to live in, where everybody's reporting everyone, and the Gestapo's going to come because and arrest you like this poor woman?
Like this poor woman? What made her poor? Yeah. It's so infuriating. It is so absolutely... piss off, just pissed off and inducing. He's a bioterrorist. That's all. And there's a market for this shit. And Emery and Marveline are sitting there in their matching bark loungers down there at the Ballerina Swan Lake trailer court and country club. You know, Marveline, I don't think we really need that vaccine. We're going to be fine. Yeah. Todd in South Carolina stand pointing out, maybe Mr. Paul needs to receive another tune-up from his neighbor. Tune-up. Good word. Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Matt in San Francisco pointing out, Rand Paul is calling someone a Karen. Are you intentionally trying to drive me into the woods and eat dirt, Robin? You know, it's more Ann Mundy, Matt. You take the ticket and you take the ride, and oh my God, I'm sorry. Yeah, a Karen. When the Karens are the ones out there behaving like, well, Rand Paul. Jeremy in Vermont says his hero neighbor should stop in wherever he is, and Gestapo is flapping mouth. We're only kidding, Agent Fred. We're only kidding. Oh, and back to Marjorie Trader Green Q-tip. Matt says, can we please institute passing a psychological evaluation before being able to run for office? I had to pass an evaluation to run a store for a major retailer. If I needed one to lead 400 people, why would it be so crazy to require one for someone to represent their constituents? Make the crazy stop. I agree. But if we want proportional... See, here's the problem. If we want proportional representation here in the new 90 states of America, Matt, that means that the toxically nuts have to have some representatives in Congress, too. And, well, given the fact that the country's about one-third maggot... Sadly, it means that there's a place in the Senate for Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and God knows over in the House for your Louis Asparagus Gohmerts and Marjorie Taylor Trader Green Cube Ball and Lauren Bobblehead Boobert Clanny Oakley. And well, the problem I think the problem is there might overrepresented is what I'm saying. I know, going back to the issue of the border stories. Megan said, good Lord and Lady, Biden's been in office for less than 100 days and the MSM is rushing to hold him accountable for shit the orange human trash fire took 4 years to mess up in 9 ways from Sunday. Talk to me at the end of Biden's first term, and then we'll talk. Yeah. And, encourages everyone, if you have not seen Randy Rainbow's Mr. Biden, bring my vaccine, it is a delight. Megan wants to hear a little bit of it. Let me see if I can get it to fire up here.
Could you maybe at some point just like curse or say something completely Looney Tunes or offensive? The other guy used to do that, and it just made this whole thing a little funnier. I'm just trying to work with you here.
We're live in 3, 2...
Welcome back. I'm joined now by a man some people believe is the President of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden. Robinette?
Yes.
Don't even have to write a joke about that. Joe, can I call you Joe?
No.
Girl, we have a lot to talk about.
A lot to talk about.
As the coronavirus continues to wreak havoc, Americans are getting restless and frustrated, if you know what I mean.
One of the disappointments when we came into office is the circumstance relating to how the administration was handling COVID was even more dire than we thought. We thought they indicated there was a lot more vaccine available, and it didn't turn out to be the case.
Because we're doing so much testing.
Huh? Oh, excuse me, I think I must have fallen a...
You don't ask Biden tough questions.
Ha! Oh, I'm sorry, you know, I'm still having flashbacks.
So we're pushing as hard as we can to get more vaccine manufactured.
You now say we'll have enough supply for every adult to be vaccinated by May. Does this mean I can go to Cancun for spring break with Ted Cruz and the gals?
Well, I didn't say that.
Mr. Biden, bring my vaccine. Keep me protected from COVID-19. The trick to how I'm a Moderna, fix of that magic Pfizer or Moderna. Biden, give me a poke. They call you sleepy, but you're pretty woke. I'm so tired of quarantine. Hey, Joe Biden, where's my vaccine? I need a rollout that's good for a queen. Grab your syringe, but make sure you clean it. And stick it in me like you really mean it. Woo-hoo. Biden, hey, Mr. Biden, I'm not afraid.
Yeah, I'm really not afraid.
Inoculate me so I can get laid.
Yeah, so me know.
I don't mean to sound absurd.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Robinettes.
Oh, won't you stay?
Please.
I'm numb.
And
my hat.
I resume.
Oh,
I
see.
Love you,
please. Mr. Biden.
Yes.
Bring my vaccine. I want a trick or treat when we hit Halloween. Give me that double dose and make me go out cheap so I can plant a kiss on
Dr. Fauci.
Oh, Mr. Biden. You watch, girl, I'm so tired of quarantine. Mr. Biden, bring us, please, 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 Mr. Biden, bring my vaccine.
Just one tiny prick so we can freaking build a house.
Robinette?
Yes.
Kind of makes me wonder if I should. No, no, just don't even go there. No, we are not going to go. No, Robinette. No, damn it. So, but it's a long distance dedication to Megan in Virginia, Delaware. Yeah, but God, he's got a beautiful voice. Hopefully that was a nice little interlude. And by the way, we've got $73 worth of challenges on the table, and we are at zero. And it would be great if we could just take a bite out of the deficit, because that's $73 that's waiting to double, you know, y'all's. Okay, so that's there. And we kind of got to go back to, as vile as it is, we got to go back to the the Atlanta shooting, because the information just keeps drabbling out. Among other things, I continue to be bothered by the idea that he was in there for before he started shooting, he was in one of these locations for an hour. And you got to wonder about that hour. And I think we would be better suited if we were getting public information about that hour. This is brutal and hateful. And hey, look, it was last week when we were talking here about the degree to which his religion probably had more than a little bit to do with the hell that he unleashed. And so, lo and behold, over on over at the New York Times, they had an article by Ruth Graham, and I don't think it's that Ruth Graham. I don't think this is Billy's daughter or anything. But talking about how toxic evangelical Christianity probably contributed to the problem, or maybe created the problem. It's always nice to be out in front of somebody like the New York Times and getting there first. But then again, they had to go out and find somebody who actually had experience with evangelical. And, you know, I just had it right here. I mean, talked about how the evangelicals have these accountability clubs where men will get together and the focus is always on women and sex. You know, it's not, have you followed, not to get all Wednesday-ish or anything, it's not about whether you followed Matthew 25 or whether you've, taken to heart the idea that faith without works is dead. Nah, fuck all that. This is about, plain and simple, how much did you, and you know, when these religion outfits get going, and because they have the power to tell you that you're going to hell when you're dead, and so men get together, well, how often did you look at porn this week, Bill? Oh, I looked at porn many times, and I felt terrible, terrible guilt right after I'd masturbated to the porn. Did you house any homeless people this week, Bill? Oh, fuck that. Well, I mean, did you visit the sick? Did you heal the sick? Why would I want to do that? They're sick. It's a pandemic. Don't want to be around them. I mean, you know, Jesus. Fuck Jesus. The only thing Jesus cared about was sex. And so when that goes on and on and on and on and on, nobody should be surprised when one of them gets a gun the same day and goes and starts murdering Asian women working in a quasi-sexual business because their brains are hollowed out by the guilt that these churches instill as a means of maintaining. You know, this has nothing to do with anybody's morals. This has everything to do with maintaining social control. But the Krabappel Baptist Church, there in Milton, Georgia, kicked out young Robert Allen Long this week, saying that he was not of the body of Christ. It's not really for the Krabappel Baptist Church to say, really. And Southern Baptist doctrine, unless it's changed in the last 30 years or so, is something called once saved, always saved. Long as, you know, there's 8 human beings dead on the ground, but Southern Baptist cult doctrine says that as long as young Robert Allen Long says, sorry, Jesus will be like, cool, bro. I'm all right, man. I mean, so you murdered 8 people. So, you know, 6 of them were Asian women. I mean, but you're sorry, right? Oh, I'm so sorry, Jesus. All right, we're good. And I mean, if it turns out that you need to do something, we'll be good with that too. I know. It's stupid. It's insane. But it is also a reality for way too many people in these new 90 states of Merca. Way too many people. But they did drum him out. And you want to talk about the goddess of irony. I don't know how many people will pick up on this. I'm guessing maybe me. But the Krabappel Baptist Church, that's the Simpsons pronunciation, and I'm sticking with it. The Krabappel Baptist Church is to be found in Milton, Georgia. Now, we have to remember that I'm so old, I come from a time when there were these things called turntables. And a turntable was a thing that you put a record album on, and then you lifted the tone arm as the album turned at a set speed, and you dropped it. You set the needle carefully. You did not drop it. You set it carefully upon the vinyl, and music would come out of your speakers. Right? And over time, as the era of rock and roll came on, something called back mastering was introduced. And it was certainly a way to, you know, keep listeners engaged, and great way to ruin some albums, and hell on wheels on the needles too. And our pal Richard down in East Tennessee is an absolute expert on stylus cartridges? Really. The really highfalutin, high, you know, the high resolution stuff. But he could tell you it's just hell on a cartridge, turning the turntable backwards. But there's all kinds of stuff to be found. And one of them is playing the the Revolution number 9 on the Beatles' White Album backwards. And it's kind of ironic because I was thinking about this earlier today. And lo and behold, one of the first emails I get this evening was that email from Scott in San Diego talking about Turn Me On Dead Man. That was the subject line of the email. Talking about Flush Flimbaugh and how he's going to now be in reruns for all eternity. But that Turn Me On Dead Man is the message you could get playing Revolution number 9 backwards. Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. And I think there was some backmastering on Led Zeppelin album. I know it was there on Pink Floyd's The Wall. Congratulations. You have found the hidden message. Send all correspondence to Old Pink, care of Funny Farm, Sussex. Yeah, I think I ruined my first copy of The Wall doing that. And so, you know, I did those things. Because I've always sought additional meaning. And there it was. The Krabappel Baptist Church of Milton, Georgia. And I knew that the goddess of irony's hand was moving. Because it was John Milton, one of the greatest of the English poets, maybe second only to Shakespeare, who gave us Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained. And, further irony, David in South Carolina, Stan, tells us, when I lived in Alpharetta, Georgia, my oldest daughter attended Milton High School. I also know the area where that church is from finding alternative routes to whichever, wherever, which is what one does, finding alternative routes to wherever, which is what one does around the ATL. Took me a minute, David, but I completely understand. You had to know other way because Atlanta traffic makes Boston and L.A. look mild by comparison. It really, really does. I remember how Tracy didn't believe, you know, and she knows her L.A. traffic. I remember how Tracy didn't believe me. And then she visited Atlanta and said, oh, you were right. But John Milton, and of course, Milton, Georgia is not named after John Milton. It's named after some slave-owning piece of shit historic Georgian. But nonetheless, John Milton is who John Milton was. And given the fact that John Milton wrote what he wrote, and given the fact that this horrendous murder centers on the sexual hang-ups that were introduced and imposed upon this this young monster, Robert Allen Long, something in my head went click, and I realized that, yeah, there's a connection there, and I didn't even have to play the record backwards. So I went digging around through Milton's poetry, and I found him waxing rhapsodic about Eden before the fall. From this Assyrian garden, where the fiend saw undelighted all delight, all kind of living creatures new to sight and strange, two of far nobler shape erect and tall, godlike erect, with native honor clad in naked majesty, seemed lords of all. Two. That would be your Adam and Eve, who are both lords, apparently, not lord and lady. John Milton. John Milton had a hang-up with virginity and chastity and talked about how if the women folk were all good and chaste, that means not having sex except for when their good Christian husband wanted to.
that was an armor like steel, according to John Milton. And then, and that was in a play that he wrote. But later on, in his poetry, so spake our general mother, and with eyes of conjugal attraction, unreproved. Conjugal attraction? That meant they wanted to fuck. And meek surrender, half-embracing, leaned on our first father, half her swelling breast, naked met his under the flowing gold of her loose tresses hid, he in delight both of her beauty and submissive charms, Eve was apparently a bottom, smiled with superior love. Well, and in you know, this kind of weird-ass Christianity, all women are bottoms. Smiled with superior love as Jupiter on Juno smiles when he imprints the clouds that shed May flowers. Impregns? I think he means that Jupiter fucks clouds. And pressed her matron lip with kisses pure, aside the devil turned for envy, yet with jealous leer malign eyed them askance, and to himself thus plained. In other words, the devil's a peeping Tom who was getting his rocks off watching Adam and Eve do the nasty. Only we were still in the days before the fall, so it wasn't nasty yet. All kinds of sexual hang-ups in John Milton. And so, really? Son of a gun! How about that? And it all just seems to come together with a sort of poetic malevolence. And you know why they threw him out of the Cribapple Baptist Church, right? I don't know if they threw Mom and Dad out of the Cribapple Baptist Church. They probably should have. And I'm sure the Cribapple Baptist Church is doing everything in their power to make sure that they lay the blame all on Mommy and Daddy. But the Cribapple Baptist Church owns it. So does the Southern Baptist Convention. But the reason they threw him out has nothing to do with him. Well, you know, he's outside the doctrinal conjugationalism, whatever. Ha-ah. Nope. They are trying to make the case that when the lawsuits start coming, they should not be sued. Remember the piece of legislation we talked about last week? Not in Georgia. But it would make it... Where was that? Was it Georgia? I don't think it was Georgia. All about how that the Republicans want to make it impossible to sue a church. This is that! Because those fuckers are liable. Every time they counsel that poor little... That young monster. About the wickedness of his sinful flesh. And his man root of all evil. It was another step toward that day when the universe ended for 8 human beings who had done nothing to deserve it. And of course, like I said, he bought his gun and did the murder on the same day. Did you know that it is illegal in the state of Georgia to register to vote and vote on the same day? Can't do it. Not possible. God. And then a further indignity to attach to all of this. One of the people whose beloved was killed at one of the massage parlors. A man named Mario Gonzalez, whose wife was murdered, said that in the interim after the shooting, but before it was ascertained who it was that had done it, you know, a young, white, Christian male, Mario Gonzalez told the media that the cops grabbed him and kept him in handcuffs in a patrol car outside the spa for 4 hours, handcuffed for 4 hours, as his wife lay dead inside. He was interviewed by Mundo Hispanico. That's a Spanish-language news website. And these were the Cherokee County, Georgia law enforcement folks, you know, the same Cherokee County Sheriff's Department that said, well, he had a very bad day. And then it turned out that the guy who said that was, of course, posting anti-Asian invective on his own Facebook page. And the sheriff said, well, I didn't know about that. Thank you for letting me know. We will certainly look into that. He was detained after police had released security video images of Robert Allen Long, who is decidedly nothing in appearance like Mario Gonzalez. Yeah. In the interview, Mario Gonzalez said, I don't know whether it's because of the law or because I'm Mexican. The simple truth is that they treated me badly. Well, Mr. Gonzalez, you may not know, but the rest of us do. It's because you're Mexican, and you're in a maggot state. I mean, it's Georgia's still a stand state, even though they saved, even though dedicated voters there saved the country. I reached for comment the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office, having learned the first rule of holes, didn't have any comment for the Guardian. And by the way, Cherokee County Sheriff's Captain Klegel J. Baker is no longer spokesman for the case. Yeah. The sheriff finally did acknowledge that Klegel Baker's posts were real. He said there was much debate and anger in the department and a whole lot of heart, and we regret the heartache, any heartache caused. That's one of those non-apology apologies. We're sorry if you were heartached by what Captain Klegel done did. Imagine the heartache that goes with this heartache. They use the word heartache, the sheriff's office. Mario Gonzalez. Well, his wife, Delana Ashley Yawn, she was 33 years old. And they got a babysitter for their little girl. And they went to Young's Asian Massage to relax. That's how the Guardian puts it. And they were in separate rooms when the gunman began blowing women away. He heard the shots. Mario Gonzalez heard his wife being murdered. And within minutes, the sheriff's deputies had showed up, and the first thing they did was put Mario Gonzalez in handcuffs. They had me in the patrol car the whole time they were investigating who was responsible, who exactly did this. And at the time he was interviewed by Mundo Hispanico, he still had bruises on his wrists from the cuffs. Only when they finally confirmed I was her husband did they tell me that she was dead. I wanted to know earlier. They have a baby daughter and a teenage son. And Mario Gonzalez will raise them both alone now.
because a Baptist church in Krabappel, Georgia, was so obsessed with sex that they twisted the mind of a young man to murder. And meanwhile, when the anti-Asian hate issue was raised in the Congress, well, you remember from back in the those long ago days of the first Trump impeachment, one of his staunchest defenders was Representing Chip Roy of Dribbling Dick, Texas. Or is that Syphilis Springs? Chlamydia Creek, I don't know. Yeah, but he grunted and hooted and hollered that whole, and so he sits on the House Judiciary Committee because once upon a time I reckon he was an assistant U.S. attorney. It goes to prove that the hiring process has a little bit of tweaking to do, and I don't mean tweaking that way. But he got all upset because he's a snowflake, because people were talking about white people's anti-Asian hate. And so he wanted to make sure that people understood what his concerns were, because you know, if you're a member of the U.S. House of Representatives and you're a pig licking maggot from Gonorrhea Gulch, Texas, you got to talk like this to keep the rubes at home happy. My concern about this hearing is that it seems to want to venture into the policing of rhetoric in a free society, free speech, and away from rule of law and taking out bad guys. And as a former federal prosecutor, I'm kind of predisposed and wired to want to go take out bad guys. That's bad guys of all colors. That's bad guys of all persuasions. Now, mind you, these incidents of attacks on people of Asian heritage have been growing and growing and growing ever since Nitwit Nero, COVID Caligula, started hooting and grunting and barking about the China virus. China. It came from China. What is, on the other hand, what is Chip Roy from Papaloma Prairie, Texas, worried about? The Chinese Communist Party. Those are the bad guys. They're patently evil. And then went off on a tear about the Chinese government. Never mind the fact that some of these women were not Chinese. Well, you know, they all look alike to Chip Roy. And eventually he got around to saying, the victims of race-based violence and their families deserve justice. And as the case for what we're talking about here with the tragedy of what we just saw occur in Atlanta, Georgia, I think there's an old saying in Texas about find all the rope in Texas and get a tall oak tree. You know, we take justice very seriously. We ought to do that. Round up the bad guys. Sure. Lynching. Extrajudicial murder. That's what Chip Roy was talking about. Lynching. And it didn't sit well with Ted Lieu of California. Good man. He's on the Judiciary Committee, too, and he saw it, and I don't know how he didn't go over the table and just, I don't know. Ted Lieu said the largest mass lynching in U.S. history was against Chinese immigrants. I served on active duty in the U.S. military to defend Chip Roy's right to say stupid racist stuff. I just wish he'd stop saying it. Because anytime we point out the propensity of white people in this country to torment and murder people of color, the Chip Roys of the world get all bent out of shape. And it's the functional equivalent of that all lives matter horse shit. And it's amazing how many people can't figure out that if you say all lives matter and in objection to the idea that black lives matter or Asian lives matter, what you're saying is that you don't understand that Asian lives and black lives and brown lives are all a subset of those aforementioned all lives. They stand apart. They are not as all as, you know, all white lives. Lynching. A lynching comment. A lynching reference. Because it just, they can't help themselves. These maggots. These Trumpanzees. These Republicans. It's who they are. They're so delicate and so sensitive. Yeah, too sensitive. That they cannot, for the life of them, hear about wickedness done to other groups of people by white people, white Christian people, white Christian male people, without having to get terribly, terribly, terribly wrought and upset. Because they're afraid. And what they're afraid of is their realization that their grip on power is slipping and sliding onto the dustbin of history. And one more thing. This is something that just from the Department of I think Brother Deacon Asa referred to it as from the Cynical Bastard Department. It is not beneath the Chinese government to hire them someone on the inside in order to do some damage, especially where it concerns having the upper hand when they're negotiating. Remember, as the asshole in Georgia was shooting, there were high-level negotiations going on in Anchorage, Alaska. Who's to say their people on the ground weren't told to find a hard case and have him or her do some shooting? And why did he shoot mostly Koreans if this was a Chinese plot? Well, says Brother Deacon Asa, I think the asshole shot whatever looked like Chinese in his demented mind. Besides, it would be suspect if they were all Chinese. This way, it's easy to just cry anti-Asian bigotry in general, as the country's in the midst of negotiating with a, wait for it, Asian superpower. Stranger things have happened. But, Brother Deacon, I think that sort of dulls Occam's razor. Because the simplest and therefore most likely most correct explanation is that this young man's mind, whatever state it was in before they started on him, and since Mama and Daddy were good Baptists and he'd been plumb raised in that outfit, they'd started twisting young Robert Allen Long's mind almost from the moment he emerged from the womb. I think it's far more likely that that's the case. It just makes more sense to me. So, you know, it's okay to ponder this sort of thing. But I think that in the long run, I mean, even if they were interested in some sort of leverage like that, all they had to do was sit back and wait. because this is who they are. And the active shooter, thank you, Mark. The active shooter situation in Boulder, because Merca, got a little bit of audio here. Let me get it on the right device. Yeah, here.
Someone's down right here. Something just happened here, guys. Someone's down, I'm sure, 911. Did you see which way the shooter went?
No.
Look, there's people lying in the fucking street, guys. We need 911 here now. We're at King Soopers in South Boulder, Table Mesa. We've got injured parties on the ground. 911 now, people. We don't know if there's a shooter, active shooter somewhere. Could be in the store.
Yeah, he went in there.
He went in the store.
Right down there.
Oh, my God.
Another body.
Guys,
three bodies.
Got people down inside King Soopers. Look, there's... Holy shit. God damn it. I'm fucking getting away, guys. There's a shooter, active shooter. Get away. Get back. He's in the fucking store, guys.
Now, well, there's the sirens. Chilling. Thank you, Mark. And, yeah, chilling. And entirely foreseeable. Even predictable. Oh, Megan says, you forgot a good dollop of the submissive Asian woman trips trope. Seems like the shooter believes in that too. Yeah, that is another racist thing that's out there. And as Darlene pointed out to me a few nights ago, that's absolute and utter bullshit. Because Asian women are intensely strong, and Brooke, no bullshit. But again, in circles like the young monster traveled in, it was kind of a turn-on. The man in Boulder was shirtless and shoeless and was taken into custody, Robert, near Morgantown, tells me. God. Yep, you can tell that people are relaxing from the pandemic lockdowns and restrictions, because the open season is back. God. So we are nearly two complete hours into the program, and thank you, Jeremy in Vermont, for matching the challenge from Joey and Giraffe. The uplink challenge. Thank you, Jeremy. And what that means is that we now have we now need 72 bucks to come in, which Ralph's will match 63 of, because of the respective losses of my beloved Mountaineers and Ralph's beloved Badgers in the big dance yesterday. I don't know about Ralph's. My brackets are a hot freaking mess. because, well, half of my championship just crapped out last night. Ugh. Update coming out of Boulder. Oh my God. There are 6 dead. A police officer and 5 others. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporting. A police officer was among 6 people killed during shooting at a grocery store. Suspect's been arrested. Identity not yet known. Possible second suspect reportedly on the phone with police following the shooting. And the police were headed for a second location. There have been reports that some hostages may have been taken. God. As many as 10 people are wounded. Oh, God. A witness who was getting a COVID vaccination at the store's pharmacy said he and his family hid in a coat closet as gunshots rang out. What are the odds? I mean, really? Young, white, male. Video from the scene showed a shirtless man in shorts and no shoes being led away in handcuffs with blood streaming down his leg. Reports said the shooter may have been wearing body armor during the standoff. Ten ambulances at least showed up. And the same thing that we knew after Atlanta, we know now after Boulder. It will happen again. Because access to guns is more important in this country than for a young woman to be able to raise her infant daughter. Access to guns in this country is more important than the ability of 5 human beings to survive a trip to the fucking grocery store. Ten people to be able to come out of the grocery store unmaimed. Thank you. Thank you, Republicans. God, thank you. Thank you for your fetish for fucking firearms. Thank you for loving lead more than life. Thank you. Well, I have filibustered for 2 hours. And thank you. Thank you to Jeremy. Jeremy also took the big dance challenge down to $59. So $59 gets 63 more added to it. Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks, Ralphs. Thanks, Joey and Giraffe. Yeah, as Charlie Pierce pointed out, I see that we're having another unfortunate exercise of Second Amendment rights. Feed 'em! Wolverines! Guns are precious. Lives. Well, lives are not. Right? Let's go over and check in with Scott in San Diego. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Robin, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Sorry to make you wait so long, but we had a stack of more in Monday.
Oh, they're in holding positions above the airport, circling, waiting for clearance to land. Damn. And you're not incorrect in your assessment of the state of things. You know, just when I think that there's a little ray of hope that things might be better, you know, Atlanta.
Yeah, that's a big negatory, rubber duck.
Yeah, you got that right. you got that right. Well, I hope that we can eventually get to a day and a time. And a
don't you just fucking despise all this hoping?
Well, I don't. Maybe hope is the wrong word. I envision a time. See, even children grow up. You know? You know, your terrible twos don't all, in all cases, don't last forever. Sooner or later, you grow out of whatever your madness is. But these fuckers seem to be growing into it, or falling into it, or...
It's all happening as a result of stochastic terrorism.
Well, yeah, and it's maddening. You know, those of us who know what the deal is don't like it. And to the extent that we're able to, we really have to energize and enlist like-minded people who also don't like it, who are fed up with it, who have had it up to here with all the fucking platitudes and promises that it's, you know, that a better day is on the way. I'm tired of that shit. I want the fucking better day. You know, or at least
some notion of forward progress toward it.
Yeah. Is that too much? Is that too much to ask? You know, I mean, having grown up when I did, and I don't think has been a crazier decade than the 1960s. And I came along at just the right time and had a ringside seat. And even a young person, paid attention to the madness of those years, 68 especially. 68 was like batshit crazy. And even at that young, tender age, watching all of that madness over those 10 years, I thought on some level, well, certainly by the time I become the age I am now, that we would have come to our senses and straightened ourselves out and gotten down to work, you know, and really put our shoulders into it and made a better country and made a better planet. Well, you know, that was a waste of optimism, you know. Maybe optimism's not the right word, but, you know.
Yeah, not waste, but how about misguided?
Well, maybe even misguided. I don't even want to relive all of that. I did have a comment on one of the topics that you were telling us about, a term that I haven't heard for a long time in terms of music on vinyl, backmasking or backward masking, secret satanic messages when you play your records backwards. Now, actually, isn't the masking, and see, you went and did it, Robin. You went and made me think
I'm sorry.
Of someone. You made me think of someone on the religious right whom I've not thought of in many a moon. And when you were talking about Boulder, Colorado, at one time he was based there. That's where his daily two-hour right-wing religious talk show talkback emanated from, I believe, Boulder, Colorado. A fellow by the name of Bob Larson. Did you ever hear tell about this guy, Bob Larson?
Offhand, he doesn't come to mind. I hear Boulder, Colorado. I hear, or more likely, Colorado Springs, and I start thinking about Dobson and Ted Haggard and that lot.
Okay, well, just to give you a capsule description of what he was up to on his little radio show, apparently he at one time played the guitar and had early experiences as a musician, which led to his concern about the occult and destructive influences in rock music. And he would preach and rave and rant mainly about people on the left politically, sexually suggestive lyrics, Eastern religious mysticism, and antisocial behavior of many of the era's rock musicians. Well, he was just raking in the cash just as fast as the post office could deliver it to him. All tax-free, mind you. But and he used to take callers, and he would debate with them. And I believe I may have called him once or twice, but it's the mists of time have dulled my memory. Maybe that's a merciful thing for the mists of time to have done. But he is apparently based in Arizona somewhere now, and I'm sure he's on some cable channel somewhere, you know, bringing the visual element to his madness and still raking it in just as fast as those checks and money orders and credit card statements can be forwarded to him. Jesus, what a world. What a world. And later on, he used to do exorcisms. He wanted like $500 to do an exorcism. I said, the devil, you say. If I have $500, I'm going to spend it on something fun. I don't want you screaming at me. The power of Christ compels you. No. Well, come on. Go away, Bob Larson. Just take it to someone who's buying. The other day I posted an oldie but goodie on my Facebook, and you got to visualize it. It's Linda Blair raising up off the bed in the exorcism.
No, of course.
With Max von Sydow, doing, I used to know what the thing was called, that you spritz holy water on them with it. Some former Catholic will know. And there's a guy in painter's overalls standing on the raised up Linda Blair painting the wall, and the caption is, "The power of Sherwin Williams compels you." It's all visual.
Yeah, yeah.
It just makes me laugh every year when I post it. And that's just how I roll. Yeah, see if you can find old Bob Larson. Invite him on to talk about the evils of rock music. But as I understand it, the hidden messages, even though they were reversed, you didn't even have to play your record backwards. The devil's a clever adversary, Robin. You do know this from your Southern Baptist upbringing. Even though the subliminal lyrics were backwards and reversed and all, your mind is wired by the good Lord Almighty in such a way that without fucking up your stylus and by turning your records backward with your finger, the devil can impress your subconscious and your evil mind, your worldly mind, with the messages contained therein. So I tried to burn my records, but they wouldn't burn. That's how I know that they were. Although I did have a gospel album, which was issued on the Oral Roberts label, and I had to write them for my money back because a hole kept healing. I couldn't play the damn thing. You know, heal! And the goddamn hole would close up on the center of the record. It was just madness, just madness.
Wait, what?
You know, Oral Roberts was all the time healing people, and he had a record.
Oh, God, yes, absolutely.
And Richard Roberts and the Robettes or whatever would get on there and sing gospel songs, and you get that Holy Land record package for only $4.99 plus shipping and handling.
If you really want to enjoy yourself some evening, yeah, then don't do what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
do not sit down on the YouTube or at the YouTube and start watching clips of the Happy Goodman family. Don't do that.
Oh,
Scott.
I love the Happy Goodmans. I love the Happy
Vestal Goodman.
Vestal, and what was her husband's name? Vernon or Ebenezer,
One for you. Ron and Raleigh just dropped us a note. Today's birthday, former liquor supply officer Marion Pat Robertson is 91 years young today.
Oh my Lord.
And you know, it's those Sea of Galilee protein shakes that allow him to leg press 700 pounds that have kept him so vigorous. Not the millions and billions of dollars he had. He's 91 today, and our favorite starship captain, William Shatner, is 90. many happy returns to William Shatner.
And fuck Pat Robertson.
Well, not even with yours. It's one of the moments I'm glad that maybe them. It's one of those moments I'm glad things have changed.
Well, you're better off. I'll tell you, he may be able to leg lift 700 pounds, but he really needs to do something about that cadaverous countenance of his. He's spookier than hell. Next Halloween, I'm going to get a screenshot of him and print it out and hang it on the door, you know? And you hate those children. You just hate them. But no, I don't, actually. 91, Jesus.
Evil is a preservative.
Well, it hasn't been doing much of a job to look at him. I happened to see him on some news clip a couple of years ago, even. Doesn't look at all well. It's like, and I would hate to see his Dorian Gray portrait up in the fucking attic. Oh, that thing's in bad shape. If he looks like that, if old Pat looks like how he looks, there, that portrait up in the attic is, turn that toward the wall and run. You know, do not walk to the nearest exit. I used to watch the 700 Club back when old Ben Kinchlow was in his little Amen Corner. And they would, they would just rook the people. Everything was, you know, a cassette package or Pat's anointed teachings and all this happy horse shit. And it was all tax-free. It was all tax-free. And I'll bet you most of the people within the sound of my voice this evening have a relative or a friend who at one time fell under the spell of people like Jim Baker or Pat Robertson or Oral Roberts or any of those, or Jerry Falwell even, I'm sure, you know, and just they apparently didn't know any better or whatever or were in an impressionable point in life and just forked over that cash when they should have been sending it to the horn, you know. If I had half the money that I even contributed to religious organizations that I did, you'd have fun raising free radio for a week and a half, just if I sent you half of the money that I forked over to those fools.
Oh my God.
I was the bigger fool.
Are you kidding? I mean, look, you know,
I'm not
Kenneth Copeland's out there laughing about his jet.
And I don't mean the little animated rabbit in the fucking Disney cartoons or whatever. I've got my red leather Schofield Bible in the closet. If we were doing visual on Skype, I would wave it at you. I'd thump it for you so you could hear the resonant tone of that thing. And I had the certain passages underlined in red ink pen. Oh man, I was a good believer. I didn't shoot nobody. I wasn't that good of a believer, but I ay. I want to get off that topic. That just, it distresses me how stupid I once was.
Well, I just got another piece of information. David in South Carolina, Stan, noting subject line, war. We are at war. Donald Trump, Republicans, and Fox are inciting it, and the Kremlin backs it. This, while the multimillionaires of the for-profit media play both sides and gotcha with Biden.
Yeah.
And then this. From Twitter, CBS News reports. Just a second here. Witness. And the minute I read that, I had a feeling about this when I'd seen something in the news story from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Witness to Boulder supermarket shooting tells CBS Denver his son-in-law, daughter, and grandchildren went to the pharmacy for a COVID-19 vaccine. And the suspected shooter shot the woman in front of them.
Jesus.
He says they hid in a coat closet for an hour. And then an individual comment tweeted it. Pardon the nick-ups there. Oh, my God. Was the active shooter gunman in Boulder, Colorado, possibly targeting people getting vaccines? And that was the first thing I thought, too.
Yeah, nothing would surprise me about this because, you know, we had 4 years of, we had a goober for 4 years. I'm ready now to have a Robinette, you know? That's my take on the transfer of power. But he's not working fast enough, and they designed
goobers, Robinettes, chocolate covered treats.
No, I'm serious. Biden cannot.
Robinettes and goobers,
enough.
Mighty fine to eat. Fucking jingles. Can't remember the quadratic equation, but I can remember the goobers and raisinettes jingle.
There you go. But I mean, he can't work fast enough. You know, if he never slept and had a dual personality and was 40 years younger even, he could not work fast enough to undo the damage that was wrought through 4 years of Trump, you know? And while we're on the subject of people being programmed to do and say, you know, absurd things, and I know you don't have HBO, but if you can get access to even the HBO Max app, last night there was the first two 1 hour installments of a 6-part series called Q Into the Storm. The first two aired yesterday. The next two will air the 28th, and the final two will air on, I guess that's April 4th. And I was favorably impressed with the way they did it. And they're build. I really think that the documentary filmmaker, whose name I can't recall, is systematically building a case to lay it out for America and anybody else who is watching of just what this movement is all about and what they're up to and how we have been presented with them at this point. And it's fascinating. So if you have any access to HBO or can get it, I recommend watching the first two, which are already streaming somewhere if you have the HBO Max app, and then to watch the subsequent four episodes this coming Sunday and the following Sunday. Q Into the Storm. I was favorably impressed with it. It was depressing as hell to see.
Did you find yourself surprised at just how nutty these people are? I mean, did you see or hear anything that you hadn't seen or heard before about the shit that these nutbags believe?
Well, actually, I did. There are some people who apparently run the servers that host, 8chan, if 8chan is still around, but where the Q movement really got underway. See, my theory is that Art Bell didn't die, that Art Bell is Q. Okay?
No, Jesus, so please, don't even say that out loud. What the fuck is wrong with you? God, that'll be all over the right, because we've got right-wing lurkers over here, and that'll turn into a thing, and the next thing you know is, they said it in the started on an internet radio program with Robin Kincaid and some guy named Scott calling from San Diego, and...
Well, Robin, let me tell you something that I actually, it took my breath away when I looked it up earlier after watching those two 1 hour segments of this Q Into the Storm documentary series. I got to thinking, and I even posted this on my Facebook. I got to thinking, one of the things that I learned, that Q is the 17th letter of the alphabet.
Yes.
And being a JFK researcher, JFK assassination researcher, I remember that the Warren Commission report consisted of 26 volumes. The last third of those volumes, and these were big-ass books, okay? I mean, you could kill somebody if you hit them in the right spot in their head with one of these Warren Commission hardback volumes. But the last five volumes or so were exhibits. So I fired up the old internet machine. I wanted to do an experiment to find out if Q had anything to do with the Q thought, had any connection with the JFK assassination. So I fired up the electronic version of the Warren Commission report, went to the exhibits section, looked for Warren Report Exhibit 17, and what do you think I found?
Q.
Well, after a fashion I did. This is going to knock your socks off, and I want to quote directly from what I put on Facebook. My Facebook friends in the Horn family can look at this at their leisure, because it really did take my breath away for a moment, even though I don't buy into that nonsense of the Q machine. Okay, so you go to Warren Report Exhibit number 17, representing the letter Q, which is the 17th letter of the alphabet, and you see a stenographic notebook owned by Lee Harvey Oswald with Spanish words and their Russian equivalents on some of the pages. On the front of the notebook is a logo. It was made by the Coil Craft Notebook Company. And there's a little star at the 5 o'clock mark on that circle where Coil Craft appears. And at first glance, it looks like a fucking Q.
Oh, no.
You really are trying to start some shit, aren't you?
Maybe I better feed the rabbit a carrot as I fall down the rabbit hole, you know, or something.
Yeah, at least a little leaf of romaine or something. They like that better, you know, the rabbits.
Oh, I know. I used to, at a place I lived in
Cincinnati. Tell me about your rabbits, George.
I used to leave lettuce out for them, and my neighbor across the way.
It looks like we're going to have a rabbits run in 7-year cycles. And I've already seen two little ones out, so I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of rabbits this year.
I like rabbits. Rabbits are cute. I wish they would vocalize. I mean, they don't like dogs bark.
She was the daughter of Rosie O'Grady, a regular old-fashioned Goyle. They do vocalize.
Stop it. You're making me cough. But I just.
You mean you didn't expect that the minute you saw?
Well, I, you know.
Oh, we are the boys in the chorus. We hope you like our show.
Oh, I love it when an ex-smoker laughs heartily. Pardon me, Jesus. And you're still using the Nicorette pouches?
No, not Nicorette, but yeah, I'm using the. I'm down to the little 2 milligram ones.
Huh.
I'm slowly weaning away. I hope to be done by summer.
No. What brand did you smoke? I think you told me this one.
I was for years and years, you know, 14 years old Marlboro. And then over the years, I switched to Winston Lights. And the last 10 or 15 years, Camel and Camel Wide Blues.
Okay.
I'd say since like the mid-aughts. I just liked them better.
I don't think I did smoke Camel Lights for a brief time, but.
Yeah, you're not allowed to call them lights anymore, by the way.
Oh, really? Why?
Yeah, that's again the law. Because it creates the false impression in the mind of the cigarette addict that somehow they're smoking a safer cigarette.
If you have one in your mouth, can you ask someone to give you a light? Or will they come after you for that?
No, I get the point, but. Not so they changed and so just about like Camel Lights became Camel Blues, and then I was into the Camel Wide Blues because if I smoked the Camel Reds, they made me feel like I was going to barf up a lung. Dinner hour.
Well, what's for dinner? Well, Scott's going to cough up a lung in about 45 minutes.
Mmm, haggis.
Come on now, don't do that. Wait a minute, I got to mute for a minute while I wheeze. Okay, anyway. I wish the people in the world would behave.
That's not a, that's a nice wish.
And don't tell me what to do with my hands or I'll hang up. Oh, I know what.
No, I'm not a Southern Baptist, okay?
No, I was thinking in terms of what Aunt Emma used to say when I would say I wish. If there was a toy at G.C. Murphy Five and Dime that I wanted, I would tell her, I wish I could get that. And she says, well, you can wish in one hand and in the other and see what.
Oh, yeah. I had the slightly cleaned up version for our kids in that regard. I said, little froggies wish they had wings so they wouldn't bump their butts when they hop.
Mm-hmm.
They got real tired of that real fast.
Something you were talking about during the first segments of the program. Oh, John Milton.
Yeah.
Made me think of a movie, and I'm wondering if you saw it. I think it was made in like 1997 or thereabouts. It was an Al Pacino movie, and it's my second favorite lawyer movie. And it's called The Devil's
Advocate. I knew that's where you were going.
If you saw it, what did you think of it?
Oh, we watched it multiple times.
Wasn't that a pretty good
movie? Oh, yeah, it was. I didn't see it as a lawyer movie so much as a, creepy, spooky movie, but, to each his own.
And The Firm, that's the other lawyer movie that I like a lot. But anyway, when you're talking about John Milton, because that's the name of the character, and it apparently the message of the film ties into John Milton's writings. I've never read, as far as I know, I've never read anything by John Milton. Saturday morning cartoons in the 60s, I did watch Milton the Monster, which is the dumbest fucking cartoon. I didn't watch it more than a couple of times because it was too stupid even for me. Milton the Monster. I don't even know who made it. But they should go away and not come back ever for a long time. I'm exhausted.
Well, it's all that coughing and laughing.
When I cough and get carried off by the cough, I become winded almost or something. I can barely lift my coffee cup to my quivering lips. Let me see if I can do it and make a funny noise besides. Wait a minute. Ah, great coffee. Lukewarm. But anyway.
Yeah, I made a cup of decaf espresso right before airtime, and it's now decaf iced coffee.
I like iced coffee in the summertime.
Yeah, I don't sweeten my regular coffee. I don't like that. But when it's iced coffee, I like to throw a couple of Splendas in it.
Well, one of the things that I was telling my niece. I don't think I've told you this. But, maybe I did refer to it in a previous call recently. I don't go out more than once or twice a month. I have the nice people bring me stuff because we have this agreement. If I pay them, go online, pick out what I want, and pay them, they'll bring it to me and leave it at the doorstep. I don't even have to say hi to them, And if you ever shop on Amazon, on the Amazon Fresh grocery deal, they have a box of 200 or 250 for like $5 or something. It's their version of Splenda. and fucking Splenda in those big boxes, the name brand Splenda, you know, 250 packets is like $12 or something, maybe more, depending on where you shop. And I don't taste any difference.
No, it's just, it's the chemistry, there's not going to be. The chemistry is the chemistry. It's all just, it's made in the same place. It's just repackaged and rebranded and,
But I couldn't, and, you know, and they bring it to you on top of it? I mean, come on. And I know that that company up in Seattle has, you know, and in some cases, rightfully so, has its reputation questioned. But they're certainly serving a purpose. They're keeping me from going out and being infected by idiots who don't have enough sense to get their shot or wear a mask or whatever, you know? And you were talking about, what was it, down at Palm Beach or Miami Beach?
South Beach.
I'm at the point, and I'm, you know, I'm a pretty compassionate, loving, kind-hearted, positive person. But if they're going to be that goddamn stupid about it, willfully stupid, then they whatever they get, they probably deserve. But the bad part about it is, since they're not all from there, probably most of them aren't, they'll go back to wherever they came from and fuck up things there. And then it becomes even worse if it's a place that was behaving responsibly, was beginning to turn the tide on this fucking pandemic, only for these bozos to fuck it up. And that's no reflection on Bozo, you know?
We're all bozos on this bus.
I knew you were going to say that. And I was never on the Bozo show, but I met Bozo when I was about 6 years old. It was around Christmas time. Gather around the campfire, boys and girls, and I'll tell you a tale of my wretched childhood. You know who, that old lady I used to hang around with, heard that Bozo was coming to the YWCA for Christmas. And we got on the bus and went down to Old Town Alexandria to the YMCA and went in there. And there was they had a like a long tube running up the stairs because Bozo was on the second floor. And I, obviously Aunt Emma didn't go through the tube at her age, but I crawled up through that fucker because I wanted my free candy cane and I wanted to squeak Bozo's nose, which I did. And I did. Huh? And it was Willard, you know, Willard the weatherman.
Yeah, sure.
The Today Show. Yeah. One of the great Bozos of our time. But, and later on, I mean, I used to hang out when he and his partner, Ed Walker, would do their radio show, and that's how I got to be in radio. Now let's talk about tone arms.
Oh, yes, of course.
Did you ever work with, I believe Gates was the company that made these?
Yes, my first two turntables in a radio station were Gates turntables.
Massive floor model turntables with platters, you know,
they didn't look like much, but they were something.
Oh God, they could accommodate a 16-inch disc, if you can imagine that, because that's what a lot of those transcribed, pre-recorded programs were on. And the ones that I am most familiar with, they had two tone arms, one for your regular records, your 33s or your 45s or whatever, but if you had to play a transcription, You would flip the direction of the turntable and use the other tone arm, and it would start from where the record would normally end at the center. It would run backwards, and the tone arm would move from the center out to the edge. It was the damnedest thing. It used to mystify me. Did yours do that, or were yours a later model?
There were Gates, and the other one was QRK. I misspoke, but my first turntables were QRKs over at the Gospel Voice, because the running gag.
Ones?
No, these the no bigger than the 33. But the running gag was the QRKs came up. Those particular QRKs came over on the ARK.
Did you ever wow records in on those things? Because you had to turn those records back when you would cue them up, so that they wouldn't.
Well, no, that was the thing. Those direct drive motors, man, they were good in that regard. But yeah, you queued them up, and you bought yourself a couple of seconds so they would hit. Yeah.
You know, the non-radio people are probably, the sound of devices being switched off is probably deafening. But I'm sorry, folks. This is the way my mind works. And I don't call that much. I mean, once a week or so.
No, you're doing fine.
I just ramble. I got to stop. Well, I'm still not back to my normal sleeping schedule. And I don't know when I will be. And it's pissing me off because you need a certain amount of sleep. Now, it may not be 8 hours for everybody, but you need predictable sleep cycles. And I blame it on the time change.
Yeah, and mine kind of aren't right now.
Mine aren't either. And
this has nothing to do with daylight savings time.
Well, why are yours messed up? I know why mine are messed up.
Because I've gone back to being Robin Kincaid, amateur Uber driver.
Oh, well, yeah, that's right. You did mention
that. So I have to have Park at work. And it's not nearly as far as the other trip was. This is just Fayetteville and back, but it still screws you up. I have to have him at work at 11, and then I pick him up at 7, which means that by the time I get back, you know, it's 11:30, and then, you know, you get in bed, and you're not kind of awake, and then it's 1 o'clock, and then it's 6. And you're up, and you're kind of toothpicking your eyelids open and trying to get the... And, I mean, I love my decaf, and I love, last year Chris sent Agnes a Nespresso machine for her birthday. And this year she sent me a Nespresso Virtuo machine. And we're just having the time of our lives with them. And the little Arachino milk frother is just fantastic. But the one downside to, I mean, the thing is the decaf capsules in that, you can't tell the difference between that and caffeinated coffee, except for the fact that it will not do for you what caffeinated coffee does. And of all the things that, you know, I've had to change, modify my diet, the absence of caffeine, I think, bothers me more than anything, because you just really, you know, if you could do a quick shot of espresso and just bang, and it would perk you up. And no, not for me, because it's bang, it perks you up, your heart speeds up, and then, you know, ugh.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Preventricular contractions, it's nasty. And so I get back, you know, I pick him up at 7, we're home by 7:30, back into bed. Wake up about, you know, get the other half of my 8 hours of sleep. And so that's noon. And then up all day and do the things that I do to get the program ready, jot some notes, look for the backmasking in the news stories for all intents and purposes, like Milton, Georgia.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether to shit or fall back in it. That's not me complaining, because I'm so proud of him. He's doing so well. And that's exactly what it is. And
it's not good for you.
I wake up and I go, there's no reason for me to have a hangover. But this sure feels like one. You know, that thing where you wake up and you rub your eyes and it's like, are my eyes bleeding? Because it's just not right. By the way, you mentioned Bozo.
Hello, boys and girls. It's Bozo, the world's most famous clown.
Well, Randy in PA said, I was on the Bozo show in Boston, Massachusetts when I was a kid. On one of that trip, on that trip, one of our party got picked as buddy boy. However, he didn't win the treasure chest of cheap plastic toys.
Wow. And every major city had its own bozo.
Mm-hmm. Bozos across America.
That's right. And they had to go to bozo school, bozo college. The guy that started the thing was a guy named Harmon. Bob Harmon, maybe? H-A-R-M-O-N? Somebody can look it up. And what he would do is he would sell the local station, pardon me, a package of bozo cartoons. And the station would hire, usually it was a staff announcer, you know, who didn't have a bad back or a hernia. You know, one of the younger members of the staff would go out to California, to Hollywood, to the Bozo College, and learn how to be a bozo and how to do the makeup and, you know, all the rules of being a good bozo. And they would ship him back to the home market. And at the local station would have the Bozo show. I don't know who the Boston Bozo was.
Huh. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to bring something up as we move toward the end of the program. And by the way, thank you, Charles. We now only have $49 to go to meet Ralph's Big Dance, Big Heartbreak Challenge. I guess that's what we'll call it. There's $49 to go on that, and... taken all together, that would get us almost to the halfway point of fundraising for this evening. And as the month wears out, there's still more bills desperately in need of paying. So if we could not be in a hole going into tomorrow, but I guess we're gonna. But if we could just meet the challenge, that would be wonderful.
Let me lighten your load by $10.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah. So $39, Scott. Thank you.
Let me encourage the Vast Horn audience and the members of this family.
Across the fruited plains, my friend.
Wait a minute. Leave my fruit and my plains out of this. That it is a multitude of pleasures, even if it's a small amount. No amount is too small to support the Horn broadcast. And you may say, well, I would feel, you know, bad if I can only put in $2 or $3. Well, if enough people put $2 or $3, that 39 is taken care of, and we live to fight another day. And blessings of those sorts, I don't mean to get evangelical on you. I won't draw out that thing, you can't outgive God. But you cannot outgive the universe. We are here for each other in the grand scheme of things. And that's really what it's all about. You cannot, the riches and the goodness of the universe, you could give every hour from the moment you're born to the moment you die, and you still will not outdo the universe. And I encourage people, if they're able to do it, do it, and you from your toes on up to the top of your head will get a tingle out of being part of something that is worthwhile and informative and entertaining for people. Now, where else can you get informative and entertaining? I don't know of any other place on a consistent basis as this show does. Are you kidding me? And do it, and you'll thank me.
It's your use of that word consistent, and that means a lot to me, especially given the number of years that I've been at this, because it is contrary to what some people may think. It is not particularly easy to come up with 3 hours of material. 15 hours
a
week.
Hell no.
But I love it.
Don't play records.
No.
Except for.
That's one of those things that kind of blew me away. And there's certainly no disrespect involved with this. But when I first started filling in for Mike, they were still on terrestrial radio, and there were breaks, and you had to hit the hard breaks and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But what was really weird was it was, hey, what? 3 hours? It wasn't really 3 hours. It was more like an hour and a half, because the other hour and a half were fucking commercials, and you could just sit back and file your nails or, you know, scratch and fart. Well, I tell you what, you got something started here. You got us down to 39, and I had a note from Jude saying a donation for Juanita and her extraordinary ability to regain her ground. You may recall Juanita, a horrible story. She lost her beloved son in a fire, lost everything she had in a fire, and is scratching and coming back and getting back on her feet, and she's such a wonderful human being. So that gets us down to $29. And then I had a note from an anonymous friend who says, I got 20 if somebody else will knock out the other 19, which is now 9. So that would put us at having raised $155 out of the 300 we needed today if there's 9 more bucks out there. Yeah.
See,
so
I love
thank
it.
You, Jude. What? Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Jeremy. And thanks to Joey and Giraffe, and thank you to Rouse. And by the way, Jeremy notes, After all, you were voted the third most consistently adequate broadcaster in West Virginia, Robin. You're damned right, and I wear that as a badge of honor.
Did they give you a badge? I want to.
No, I didn't even get a Daisy air rifle with a compass in the stock.
And a string so you could tell time.
Right, or the decoder ring that tells me to drink my Ovaltine.
Oh dear. Dear sweet merciful Jesus, do they still make Ovaltine? I know.
Oh yeah, that's the most awful stuff I've ever tried to pour down my gullet. Jesus,
now,
that's horrible.
Kid, we had something called Bosco.
Oh, well, I remember Bosco. Bosco. Hell yeah.
It was a liquid.
Yeah.
It was in a pump jar, and you would pour your glass of milk and pump it a few times. And,
yeah, I was always a Hershey syrup kid. I just go right to the source.
Do you remember Nestle Strawberry Quick?
Couldn't abide the stuff. I thought it tasted like a chemical fire.
Oh, I used to love Quick.
I like the chocolate, but with the dry stuff, there was always the sludge in the bottom.
Oh, the sludge was the best part.
How did I know that's where we were going? Yes, this is adequate radio. There are conversations taking place of momentous portent, monumental importance, deep discussions of policy and procedure. But by God, this is the only radio program that has had an incisive discourse on fucking Bosco.
Oh, give me a cigarette.
Yeah, I'll take one too. Yeah, I looked at that. Every now and then I look at Agnes and say, can I have a cigarette, honey? She, yeah, stick it up your ass.
Yeah. Oh, God. But the sludge, the Strawberry Quick sludge was the best part, because
God, why in the 70s when punk came along, why was there never a band called Strawberry Sludge?
Well, there should have been
somewhere. God, please let there be an alternate universe where Strawberry Sludge has a string of fucking hits as long as your arm, and in that universe your arms are really long,
but you get your tall cold laugh of whole milk, not none of those 2%, and put you in your 3 or 4 spoonfuls of strawberry Nestle's Quick, and stir it up real good on a hot summer day, and just swill that stuff. And then the best part, like I was telling you.
And then you run out and play and get hot and yak all over the place.
Well, no, that's not the best part. That's the that's the worst part after the best part. You get down to where that strawberry sludge was, and you take your long-handled spoon and just dig down in there and just eat that stuff right up. I'm talking. And this is why I got blood sugar issues to this day, is what I'm trying to tell you. There's the moral to our story.
I was just somebody was suggesting, and I think I'm going to take him up on it when I can come up with it, set aside enough for it. We got a lot of great trails around here, and I think I would like to get a bicycle.
Ooh.
And start riding these trails.
Oh, that would be nice. Communing with nature and getting a little exercise to boot. Are you kidding?
Yeah. And going into that really, really high, yeah, that depends on how you talk about it. The high gear, the one where you pat the pedal really quick. You like 15 revolutions to move 2 inches, right?
No, I don't do anything really quick at my age.
But I think, one of those fat-tired models, you haven't been out, but they got these fat-tired bicycles now, and it's really made for sort of sketchy terrain. Yeah. By the way, I'm glad to have somebody in my corner on this. Strawberry Quick, Tom in sunny San Rafael says, oh, that stuff was awful. And it was.
Well.
Oh. Right up there with artificial banana flavor.
Well,
with the exception of banana popsicles.
The thing that got me started on it was, I believe he died, or he may still be alive, I can't remember. Jimmy Nelson, the ventriloquist, had a show on, or at least he would do the commercials. And N-E-S-T-L-E-S, Nestle's makes the very best. What's the rest of it? Chocolate. But the other thing, the alternate commercial was for the Strawberry Quick. And I didn't much care for chocolate milk as a kid, or even now.
Man,
give me some of that Strawberry Quick, baby. And who was that, Tom, that didn't like Strawberry Quick?
Yeah, Tom and me.
Just send it. Yeah. Bob will give you the address. Send all you want. I'll drink it right up.
You'll dispose of it for him, right?
With a scoop of ice cream in it? Oh, baby.
Well, and of course, now I'm just, you were talking about none of that 2% stuff. Now that this Fairlife stuff is out there that's like ultra super duper double secret probation pasteurized, that stuff tastes like whole milk. The 2% tastes like whole milk, and the skim milk tastes like 2%. But the whole milk, to make chocolate milk with that, yeah. And of course, I can't do that very often.
Did they even make Strawberry Quick?
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah,
you got me started.
Yeah, it's still out. I'm sure you can order some and they'll bring some right to your door.
You've got me.
But get yourself a jug of the Fairlife milk to go with it. It will change your life.
Oh, I've been using it for a couple of. Sometimes when I can't get the milk that I want, that I usually get, Altadena or whatever it is. They bring me the Fairlife, and it is good. I only use it in my coffee.
And it stays good forever in your fridge.
Well, that too. Well, now I've got to go online and find out if somebody will bring me Quick.
Oh, and by the way, Bosco Trivia, Ron and Raleigh reminds us, Mr. T's character on the A-Team was named B.A. Baracus, remember? A pity of fools. The B stood for Bosco, the A stood for Albert.
Bosco Albert.
Bosco Baracus.
That's a good politician's name. And now the Right Honorable, hailing from the great state of Arkansas.
Okay, there's more people on my side than yours now in the great Strawberry Quick debate, Scott. Okay. Matt in San Francisco says, I thought of it as what sheetrock would taste like if it was a drink. Oh, we're channeling our inner children this evening. You got to sometimes. I mean, there's information coming out about this godforsaken attack in Boulder, and we can drown in our own damn tears, and we will, we'll ride our Congress critters. We will march. We will protest. We will. just like we've been doing since fucking, and I mean no disrespect, not just like we've been doing since Sandy Hook. And there's actually gun legislation going through the Congress that the American people desperately want, but Mitch McConnell doesn't. You know, so that. Oh, by the way, I mentioned something on Friday about Joe Biden's stumble. And I said, watch, it'll be all over right-wing media. Well, jumping right out there was Ronnie the Candyman Jackson. Little asshole that he is. I served as White House physician. Now, this is a guy who got bounced as White House physician because he was getting liquored up and driving around and passing out meds, you know, kind of on the sketchy. You remember when remember the guy who wound up playing Kramer on Seinfeld, that early ABC comedy show Fridays?
Michael Richards?
Yeah, Michael Richards was one of the cast members. Yeah, and there was this character that he played. He was a pharmacist, and his signature line was "Take a pill." that's Ronnie. And he said, "I served as White House physician under three presidents," and he all capped three. This was a tweet. "I've seen what it takes physically and mentally to do the job. I can tell you right now that the way Biden is hiding from the public is a major red flag. Something's not right." Oh, fuck off.
Let me ask you something, seriously. Now, I have not seen the footage. I saw a story about it on one of the websites. And saw a still photograph, but I have not seen the footage. Biden seems to be the type who, not sprints, but jogs up the stairs. Was he jogging up the stairs, or was he trudging like Trump used to do?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but...
toilet paper on his goddamn shoes.
With the umbrella, the sideways hair. I remember it all. Yeah. But Noel Kasler, the guy who broke the story of COVID Caligula's Adderall addiction, responded to Ronnie the Candyman saying, "Says the guy who helped Trump hide his Adderall addiction and kept him well supplied with benzos."
Yeah, yeah. Well, to answer your question, it wasn't really a question, but the American electorate, left, right, and center, need to demand better. And if they don't follow through with better, vote the fuckers out. Do whatever you have to do. Put the same type of energy and resources that we put into Georgia and vote those fuckers out.
I popped over and figured out how to use the technology involved popped in on our buddy John Britovo's Sunday evening program last night, and you know that issue was brought up, and you say vote the fuckers out, and I'm right there with you. I want to figure out how to do that. I want to know how you get rid of, say, Louis Asparagus Gohmert in the first district of Texas, and he's such a but I wonder if he's such a loon. I wonder if maybe the Democrats want him to stay because he makes the Republicans look so fucking awful. Or now, apparently, and, you know, thank you, Goddess of Irony, will not hurt for, we won't hurt for material while this goes on. In 2022, it appears that Mo Brooks, Les Brains of Alabama, has the official Trump seal of approval stamped on his forehead to run for Richard Shelby's Senate seat. Oh my heavenly days. God. I mean, come on. Where's the Roy Moore candidacy? I need Roy Moore to run for Senate in Alabama some more.
Well, didn't he say that he was going to run?
I don't know relative to Richard Shelby. He ran and lost the primary to Tommy the Tuber this last time through.
Or maybe that's what I was thinking about. Well, we can always count on people like Roy Moore to get up there and lose, I would like to think. But to answer your question seriously, though, Now, each congressional district, no matter where it is something like 770,000 people.
Yeah.
Is that okay? All right. Now, how do you do it in a district like Louis Gohmert's? Well, you may not be able to, but don't sell yourself short. If the commitment can be made by people who want to see it happen, you've got to do it on an individual basis with people, because not all of the people in his district are stupid. Maybe some of them, maybe a vast majority of them, haven't even bothered to vote or learn about the issues. There's where your gold mine is. If you can communicate with people and give them a good reason and show them a benefit for becoming involved on our side, then you've got a voter. And
sure, but you got to remember that, I mean, that's why H.R. 1 is so important. It deals with the gerrymandering issue. The reason Louis Asparagus Gohmert is in the Congress is because, you know, he's in a district that has been gerrymandered within an inch of absurdity. And it's like Friday evening, Steve from Georgistan talking about, you know, there's a challenger for Marjorie Trader Green cue ball. And you know, God bless him and Godspeed and fair winds and clear sailing. And I hope he can win. But you have to look at these damn districts. They are drawn the way they are for a purpose. And they are drawn that way to keep the Louis Asparagus Gohmerts in and the Mo Brooks Less Brains. I mean, I particularly despise Mo Brooks Less Brains because he comes from that corner of Alabama where I'm from. And it includes Huntsville, which is this huge technology hub full of scientists and engineers and, you know, people who don't think that Adam and Eve rode to church on a goddamn dinosaur. And yet he wins. So, yeah. Oh, Jeremy finished off all the challenges. So that means that we are $145 away from finished with this evening. Maybe some folks in the overnight crew will kick in. That would be fantastic. And otherwise, it means $4.55 for tomorrow. So just an update on that. Thank you, Jeremy. You've done a lot this evening. Thank you so much. And thank you, Scott. Let me check in on a couple of things here. As to Juanita, Jude pointed out she's moved into a triplex several buildings from her burned home after being emotionally abused at an assisted living facility. Jude, who will not put up with any kind of administrative horseshit, said, "I had to call in a complaint to the overseers of the state nursing homes, et cetera. Juanita never skipped a beat, continuing to take care of a massive amount of business. She's truly a beloved and strong soul," and she absolutely is. My God, what a woman. As to Dr. Ronnie, Jude says, "I was lovingly reminded as a child that I try to follow is, if you don't have anything kind to say about someone, then be still and reflect." Be well, Robin. You too, Jude. And I try to follow that too, but it goes back to that great Buddy Hackett line from It's a Mad, 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 Mad World that you and I have discussed so many times regarding Ethel Merman. I love everybody. I want everybody to be happy, live a long life, but not you, he says to Ethel Merman. I hope you drop dead. And you know, the assholes that show up on Moran Monday, it's kind of like that, Scott.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
know Jude understands that. Sometimes it's just past being able to take one's childhood good advice and put it into practice. I try. But Jeremy said, "Wait one pink damn minute. I looked hard at some Strawberry Quick on Friday night while shopping. I'm with Scott. I enjoyed it and still so from time to time. And more often than not, when I get milk at Quick Mart, it's strawberry flavored."
There's a brand they carry at my Kroger's. And one of them, they've got a midnight chocolate milk that is just amazing. But they've got a strawberry.
Yeah, they do. And they've got an orange cream, too.
It's a Kroger brand, though, that comes in strawberry?
No, it's not a Kroger brand. It's a name brand because it's expensive. Promised Land.
Good God.
Midnight chocolate,
and they've got a strawberry and an orange. I haven't worked up the courage to try the orange cream, but I'm beginning to wonder if maybe I mixed it with a little bit of plain seltzer water. Would it be kind of like an orange cream soda? I don't know.
I can hear the commercials. Promised Land, the dairy drink that Moses swears by. Never mind.
Promised Land, favored by displaced Edomites and Canaanites everywhere.
There you go, there you go. Give yourself a cowbell.
Well, thank you. A little one.
Well, that was just a...
Oh, yeah, and Biden stumbling, Jeremy said. Biden stumbled. Anybody else remember a couple of months back when the death yam couldn't walk down the fucking ramp at West Point without an aide and an arm on one of the generals? Yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when he couldn't walk on a flat surface without clinging to Theresa May for dear life. Oh, and in answer to your question, Darlene says, Biden was trotting up those long, steep steps. He hurt himself, too, banged up his knee as he was rubbing it. I don't know if this was a factor, but it was very windy, and he did suffer a fracture not too long ago. He doesn't strike me as a clumsy or klutzy person, but he may have the mentality of someone much younger that thinks he can still do more athletic things, but his body's not always there for him. He was playing with Major, who's a young, active dog, when he injured himself. We're not talking Trump, who has to lock his knees in order to just stand and don't forget the ramp. Exactly, Darlene.
That ramp. Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, and speaking of, and this is just one last thing to wrap us up, Scott. There's an infrastructure bill coming, and it's going to be huge. It's like a $3 trillion infrastructure and jobs bill aimed at putting people back to work and getting this country going again after the Trump pandemic, the Don-demic. And one of they're looking to save with a pharmaceutical plan that makes drug companies lower their prices, save $450 billion over 10 years. That's $45 billion a year. Because Medicare would be paying less for drugs. The government would spend significantly less for Medicare and other public health programs. They're going to include a measure to force pharmaceutical companies to either lower their prices or pay a steep penalty. The bill is going to include universal pre-kindergarten, national child care plan. This is huge, and this is ambitious. There's going to be an extension of the child tax credit that was part of the 2021 stimulus bill. It's monumental, and it reminds me of something that I said a while back talking about, because I don't think Senator Biden of 30 years ago would ever have gotten behind stuff like this. But what I said back then, and I think is being borne out, is that if one operates in good faith, the presidency will define the occupant of the office and not vice versa. That was never going to happen with Nitwit Nero because he's a horrible human being. But in this case, I mean, there's stuff coming in these bills that is FDR-esque. And that's why I keep saying that we need to message, Biden, FDR, FDR, Biden, FDR saved America, Biden mm-hmm. saving America like FDR saved America. And people might get it.
Well, and they will get it. And here's the thing. If after 2 years or 2 years for the midterms and 4 years for the next presidential, if you can show a stellar track record that shows up in the daily lives of the people, that things are way better than they were before, then that says something. That has an effect on people. And it's been so long since we've consistently done it in any meaningful way. See, I will never not be a fan of this country. But when I say this country, I mean our highest and our best.
Right. Not our lowest and our least.
Right. Well, but it strikes
me that, someone who was born in 1940 will turn 81 this year. And, you know, there people, I think we are, no, I'm not going to say any of that, but let's put it this way. And somebody who turns 81 this year and has all their faculties and everything will remember and will resonate when you say something like Biden saved America, is saving America like FDR saved America. And those people likely may have, they were told by their parents what FDR did, and they have perhaps passed the understanding along as well. Mm-hmm. Such that it can get traction if we will message that way. And I'd just like to see a little bit more of it.
Well, and how it will show up for people, if we can get these things done, is the slogan, it'll no longer be a slogan. And when Trump used it, Make America Great, it was a false slogan because he wanted to sell hats.
Well, that's all it was a slogan. It was just a Roger Stone rehack of a banner that he had Ronald Reagan stand in front of in 1980.
But what I'm saying is, if Biden and the Congress, the House and the Senate, can, and the people get behind these things and bring them into being, it will no longer be a slogan. We will move that much more toward rediscovering our greatness. That's part of the problem. With that, and I know the country is not perfect and the people in it are not perfect, but I know what's possible because in my lifetime, which hasn't been all that long in the grand scheme of things, I have seen moments of American greatness and have reveled in them and waved my flag in favor of them.
The little six-year-old me watched a human being walk on the moon.
Oh, that was fake. That wouldn't
oh, but shut up! but no, those.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. By the way, we ran a little bit over, and we're going to wrap up here. But there's more information coming out of Boulder, and it looks like this was some sort of orchestrated nightmare.
God.
Because apparently there are more victims, and another shooter.
Jesus.
Another active crime scene. Not at all certain, but that's what it looks like. Thanks, David. South Carolina, Stan. And it tries a soul. It does. It tries a soul. And as Jude pointed out, Jude, who is so sweet and so so grounded and so centered in her drive to be controlled by a love of peace and a search for understanding and comprehension. Even Jude says, yet as mortals, there are moments when fuck that has to be expressed. Oh, it just does, Jude. It just does. Yeah. And we didn't even get around to the asshole in Ohio who's telling Biden voters that they can't have coffee at his shitty little coffee shop.
Well, we'll save that for tomorrow, then.
Well, I mean, it's looking kind of Titanic. I mean, you know.
Jesus. There's always some person who wants to be an asshole. And there's R's next to their name most of the time.
Almost exclusively.
Too broad a brush, Robin, but I'm telling you.
No, you get fuck the broad brush. You get the roller out for this one.
The roller, or the little gizmo that does corners. Do you ever try to paint a corner with a brush?
I spent a summer painting houses and putting on roofs, and nothing made me more eager to go back to college. My pink little hide hauling bundles of shingles up a ladder with one hand, oh, no. and I'm an acrophobiac anyway.
Oh, Jesus.
And you get about a third of the way up, and your knee starts involuntarily, like, just bang, 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 against yes. that shabby little aluminum ladder.
And
oh, I'm so studying harder next fall.
when that ladder vibrates from your vibrations.
And you know, coming home paint spattered and you still just can't get the aroma of that latex flat wall paint out of it, interior. And the headaches I got.
Like strawberry quick.
We got more strawberry quick news. Matt in San Francisco says,
what have I done?
Promised land. I have been to the promised land, tasted the strawberry quick, and it was still sheetrock. And by the way, Darlene says, it would help if Nancy would quote FDR a bit more than she does Reagan. She also swipes quotes from FDR, too, that she tweaks a bit and doesn't give him the credit. Oh, we just need to be so much better at this. And we need to figure out, Scott, how to message to the American people and throw in a little conversation about, you know, strawberry quick and make it stick better that way or something. Because I think strawberry quick probably has a little bit of latex flat interior wall paint in it anyway.
That's what I was getting at.
Scott, have a good evening, my friend.
All right, Robin and Horn family, I love all of you, and I give you all a hug from a great distance.
As they do you.
You will still get the benefit, I promise.
Hear, hear. Thank you, Scott. Thank you.
All right, see ya.
Bye now. And so, this Moran Monday has been chock full. Has it not? I have a feeling that, well, Titanic Tuesday will be the very same. For the overnight crew, if you're listening, we're at $155 to finish, or $145 to finish today. And it would be mightily helpful if we could do that and just have $300 to raise tomorrow. But as it stands, we're looking at $455 unless the overnight crew jumps in. I'm hoping that we can, it'd be beautiful if we could finish early and have some fundraising free radio here at the end of the month, but I don't know. Nonetheless, though, thanks to all of you for joining in this evening. Thanks to our subscribers, both Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to our friends from who contribute via the United States Postal Service at the mailbox. I'll be heading over that way sometime this week. Thank you all. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program, howsoever you may choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Best place to listen to the first run of Malloy, of course, is headon.live. And Brother Deacon Asa does such a fantastic job keeping that up and running and going. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Just keep getting better, Ben. We're all there with you. We're thinking of you and Christine, Dave and the Blind. We are, and sending our best, most fervent hopes for Christine's recovery. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Remember, the AIC Act, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, has been reintroduced, and it needs your support so that we can get the support of lots of members of Congress. We need 200 Democrats signing off on this so that perhaps Nancy Pelosi will notice it. If you have not yet, please contact your members of the House of Representatives. Hell, you can even try a Republican here and there, but we haven't had a lot of luck in that regard so far, so we're hoping for a real swell of Democratic support for this bill. It is desperately needed in Appalachia. And every time you send a note, you help get us closer to that reality. So thank you. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Stay home if you can. If you can't and you have to be out, please wear your mask and put a throwaway on top of it. 30%, like we said earlier, 30% of all the current cases are from the UK variant. And it is virulent and bad. I hope you can get your vaccine as soon as possible. Don't hesitate on it. Please take it. Help yourself and help others. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands frequently. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you everywhere you go. Maintain your social distance 15 feet among people wearing masks. And 15 leagues if someone isn't. And for God's sakes, if someone comes towards you hooting and barking about, that Karen told me to put on a mask. Well, avoid that person like the plague. Because he is. Later, y'all.